Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us as we watch the world inch and then hop and then leap towards giant military conflict with Iran, China, and more, while the traitorous government that has taken control of our republic is actually moving our jobs as fast as they can to China. A schizophrenic policy, but there is a method to the madness. Now, coming up at the bottom of the second hour, Charlotte Thompson Iserby will be joining us, expert on the brainwashing and dumbing down of our republic. She will be joining us, and I'll also get her to talk some about her father and grandfather who were Skull and Bones, and she has publicly said that she believes that our hour-long piece on Skull and Bones is the best report ever done on it. She's the lady that, of course, leaked the information to Anthony Sutton decades ago that first exposed Skull and Bones, what was going on there. And since then, it's all been confirmed. But she showed us even more books, documents, and things that were internal Skull and Bones. Never before seen. That interview is posted at prisonplanet.tv. Charlotte Iserby, Skull and Bones, blown wide open. We also are going to have Tyrell Ventura pop in. Remember, Jesse Ventura was on the show last Thursday. He was planning to leave Friday or Saturday morning in his RV because he won't fly because of the TSA to drive down through the United States into Mexico and down to Baja for a few months during the coldest months in Minnesota. That didn't stop the corporate media and Fox News linked up groups like TMZ to claim that Jesse had been road raging and stopped by the police going to the airport. It was funny because I talked to him the day before he was in Minnesota, but they don't care. They just said he's road raging. Wasn't true. They were forced to do a retraction. He thought it was probably a psyop. And now they've got the super sniper because at Fallujah and other turkey shoots, any type of uprising enrolls the giant military and they just call them terrorist. And this guy has come out and talked about sucker punching Jesse Ventura and then running off, running from him, but very weird. And it turns out Jesse was there at McPee's bar, the Navy SEAL bar. Then he was there for an event. And I went and looked up articles about it. And I saw people commenting who were SEALs and who were there and said, I was there. This didn't happen. Or we would have seen this. We would have heard of this. So I called Ty last night, who's here in the U.S., Ventura's son, I've worked with on the show Conspiracy Theory, and he hadn't heard of it yet. And he said, what? I would have heard about that. And my dad wouldn't say SEALs deserve to die. He said, I know that's not true. And I've seen Jesse around veterans and others. I know that's not true as well. Very bizarre. But I went and looked up this guy. It turns out he runs a mercenary group out of North Texas. They did a profile on him in Texas Monthly. I didn't read the article. I was at my parents' last month and opened it up because I've been profiled in Texas Monthly. I thought, oh, let me see what's in here. And he was wearing like an outfit and a skull hat and all this stuff. And I was like, man, how cheesy. 37 years old and acts like a kid wearing a skull hat. I mean, if you're going to kill hundreds of people and he talks about shooting a woman and all this stuff, at least don't wear a skull hat, pal. I mean, you ought to be around enough death to not like it. It's kind of like when your dad catches you with cigarettes and puts you in a room with three packs of them. That tends to break you of it. Skull hats. I mean, it's just the Nazis did that. I mean, just getting into death. Okay, we'll see where that takes a society. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today, but Bill O'Reilly had the guy on. I knew this would get big when I called Ty yesterday. It's got all the earmarks of a psyop, and the guy's got a book out, and he's tied into a group militarizing U.S. law enforcement with the Israelis.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We've got a big transmission lined up for you today. The world is obviously getting crazier by the minute. It is Friday, already the sixth day of January 2012. I keep saying 2011, but here we are in 2012. Charlotte Thompson Iserby, who was the head of policy at the Department of Education, will be joining us to break down the nexus between skull and bones and German and British psychiatry in its early embryonic stages, close to 200 years ago, establishing the modern system that we live under today. And she has republished a revised, updated, and abridged edition, so it's not Dallas phone book size, it's just a thick book full of documents. The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, that's been out of print for over a year. It is now back and available at Infowars.com. She'll be joining us at the bottom of the next hour. Now, later in the hour, I'm going to get into this because it's a great example of a psyop, and it's a mystery. And that, of course, is Bill O'Reilly last night. Headline, America's most lethal Navy SEAL sniper tells gripping tale about killing savages and decking Jesse Ventura. Jesse, as you know, former governor of Minnesota, love him, hate him, he tells the truth, or what he believes the truth is, and he lets the chips fall where they may. He's anti-globalist war. He's anti-lying about WMDs. He's upset about what really woke him up was McNamara before he died coming to Harvard when Ventura was there as a professor, visiting scholar, and admitted to him personally that he'd staged the Gulf of Tonkin. And that's just the way they did things. That made Jesse very, very upset and finally pretty much woke him up. But it's a mystery because Jesse was on with us last Thursday. He was planning to leave that Friday or Saturday. He wasn't sure yet, to drive in his RV down to Mexico for a few months. They're in the coldest parts of Minnesota winters. And when I called Tyrell, his son, yesterday, a filmmaker, and said, hey, have you talked to your dad? And he said, yeah, he crossed into Mexico this morning. My mom's cell phone doesn't work until he gets to Baja. He's got to drive an hour to a landline just to talk to me there, and because he lives literally, you know, an hour from pavement and power lines. He's got solar, you know, basically going primitive. And I said, well, that's not good news, buddy, because I said, your dad's going to want to respond to this. It's going to be big news. I could tell. I said, it's a psyop. I can tell the way they're rolling it out, whether part of it's true or none of it's true. This is going to be all over national television. He said, what is it? I said, you haven't heard. This is about 6 o'clock last night when I got a hold of him. And he called me back. I texted him, said, you want to call me right now? And because I wasn't sure at first when I got home early yesterday, I shot the news earlier and did an interview and then went home. Until I started researching the Navy SEAL that's doing this, and red flags, about 20 of them popped up right away. And I can't really, with all the other important news, do this justice, but I'll probably shoot a special report about this, not because it's even about Jesse Ventura, and he's my friend, and I stick up for friends. I don't stick up for friends unless they're in the right, okay? And when I went and researched this sniper, it got really creepy real fast. He's part of a liaison group and has gotten awards from an Israeli group that's advising U.S. law enforcement and preparing them to fight domestic terrorists. Integrates in with the TSA checkpoints with machine guns that were in Florida yesterday. He runs a mercenary group out of North Texas for security and sniper equipment for the U.S. military and police training. And he's being set up as a new celebrity for this domestic crackdown, and was probably told to do this as his test to get into intelligence. I know the SEALs are heavily involved in intelligence, but watching his body language whether there's any truth to what he's saying about Ventura or not, the whole way it's packaged is a psyop to destroy Jesse Ventura. That's what I told Ty last night. I said, you watch, they're going to have this on every big TV show, and now it's happening. I said, this is a psyop. I can see the rollout. It's like seeing a Coca-Cola commercial. You know it's slickly done. The big book from the biggest publisher. It's not just about selling books, though. They're setting this guy up to be kind of like their new little Eric Prince, but on a smaller stage and as a front guy. And, man, when I after doing the research, I couldn't quit researching because I'm involved in it at a certain level. You know, this guy up here doing it as a Texan, I'm involved in it because I'm friends with Jesse and you know, work on his TV show and have gotten to know him really well over the years. And then it adds to it that I can't get a hold of Jesse. And it'll be a couple more days until we can get a hold of him, probably. Because he doesn't, you know, whenever you got cell phones, he's like, I hate those things. And then there's other stuff. When we went out to dinner, Jesse and his wife and I, after we'd done a lot of interviews and investigations out in the high desert at a private rocket base, that's why we were in the Vegas area, one of the reasons, looking at the private space program out there and the fact of, is it a cover for a clandestine government operation? Do bears do certain things in the woods? I mean, come on. And we went to dinner at like 11 o'clock at night after we were done working all day. And he was complaining about, you know, the media. And he said, if I run for president, they're going to make all sorts of stuff up, which they've now done, claiming he's road raging. Totally not true. Just made up. And they had to retract it, but, you know, tiny little retraction. He had the CIA visit him when he was first elected governor and sworn in. He came down into the basement. They called him into the Capitol. There was 23 of them, and they wouldn't say who they were, but they were CIA. And it looked like, you know, the old lady next door. And they were basically assessing him and trying to intimidate him. And then he, of course, found out his house phone was tapped and a bunch of other dirty tricks happened. And he said, Alex, I care about this country, but I just don't think enough people want to be free. And he said, besides, you know, I have reporters, people asking me with no evidence about, you know, were you in California or Nevada dancing on a table last year drunk? And Alex, you know, I don't drink because I have to take blood thinner because of my blood clots I've had from wrestling accidents. You know, when Jesse flies, you know, he has to put on these things on his legs so he doesn't get blood clots. You know, back when I'd fly with him, you know, I'd see him, you know, adjusting him or whatever. I mean, this is a serious medical issue. And he doesn't fly, but there they are in the news saying Jesse Ventura at an airport, you know, running to the airport, road raging. That was a fake report. And I'm already digressing off into this. It's just that he talked about how they would probably try to plant fake stories on him. And so now it's kind of started. And because he did talk to the libertarians and others and was considering trying to get the libertarian nomination. And it just looks like that the system now wants to try to discredit him. And I don't know once we get him on the show or once he says something about this, if the guy really did sucker punch him and then run away. But what I know Jesse didn't say and what Tyrell says, there's no way his father would say, because I've talked to Jesse off air before. I've seen him in person. He got very upset when that helicopter blew up with the SEAL Team 6 on it. He gets very upset, you know, and teary-eyed during the national anthem and stuff. I mean, he's really into being patriotic. That's why he gets so freaked out by all this. And the way this is all scripted, where he's on this show, and, oh, a caller claims you knocked out Jesse Ventura. And he's like, oh, yes. And then it looks like it's all scripted when you watch it. And he's looking down when he's talking about it. And then he goes on Fox News with Bill O'Reilly, and it's all brought up. And, you know, he goes through all of this and says, yes, Jesse Ventura, we say the family is here of the Navy SEALs killed in Iraq. And Ventura's like, good, they need to die. I mean, it's just amazing. And then I went and did some research and found out he was there for an award ceremony. He was there in 2006. He did go to that bar. There's people talking about photos they took with him, you know, sign deals, how some of Jesse's family was there. And I called Ty. He goes, yeah, I wasn't there, but I know about him going. The family would have said something about this. I've never heard of that. You know, somebody punching him and then, you know, knocking him back and then didn't knock him out, but then running away. because I know my dad didn't say, you know, SEALs deserve to die. I know that's not true. And so, again, they're now got headlines everywhere. Navy SEAL knocks out Truther Ventura. And then I find out this guy is involved as a liaison to a group run by Dick Cheney and Richard Pearl. And I've got all the research right here. It's mind-blowing. It's on the guy's Wikipedia page, too, with links to it. And that he gets all these awards and that he's liaisoning now basically the training of U.S. police. And it looks like he might be basically an Israeli front to train the police. So, 'cause it's been in the news, the Israelis are training police, and it's like a foreign government's training our police to fight domestic insurgents. And he, again, he heads up a group for, quote, diplomatic security, diplomatic level security, and sniper training for the military and police. And he's tied in with all these groups, and it's just, and then he's got this top publisher coming out, and the way they're going to promote the book and sell him as the new hero guy that'll come in and tell our cops to get ready to fight the, you know, militias, basically, is this gung-ho Navy SEAL with the record number of kills. And then you find out it's Fallujah and other turkey shoots where people dare rise up to occupation when the contractors were abusing them, we now know. And it's turkey shoots. And then I research, and he's bragging about turkey shoots, about shooting a woman, and they're savages, and he doesn't like folks that try to create fear. Then I got quotes about how he loves instilling fear, and he wears skull hats and black uniforms. I mean, they're setting him up as the guy to be the Judas goat, I guess, to teach us that martial law is loving and good under NDAA. And he's going after Ventura. More into the Ventura story later. His son is up in Minnesota doing jury duty, and he gets out at noon central, so he should be calling into the show a little bit after that, so Tyrell can respond for his father. He doesn't even know if this is true. It's just some guy getting awards from Dick Cheney and Richard Pearl, and who is helping train our law enforcement to deal with domestic threats. Runs a mercenary security firm, is now going to sell his book under the promotion of trying to defame Jesse Ventura and say that he looked at the family and said, I think the SEALs need to die. And I've seen so many of these dirty tricks come out of the same people. It was the New York Post reporter back with Jeremy Tallis, and they went ahead and went to court 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago. Went to court, and they called the Secret Service, and the Secret Service wouldn't lie. The New York police did lie on the stand. They're there to cover Mrs. Bush giving a speech, the president's wife. They're outside of Barnes & Noble. They're out there in front of the police. They've got their cameras, and a guy runs up with his daughter in a wheelchair and starts ramming it into the We Are Change people, saying, don't attack my daughter, don't attack my daughter. And they're just standing there. And later it showed, the security camera stuff showed that. All you see is him with the camera, and they're running up into him. He's like, hey, don't do that. What are you doing? Stop it. So even their, you know, their video shows it. And it was on the news. Truther attacks disabled girl in wheelchair. Like the worst thing they can think up is sitting around going, we'll set these guys up. We'll have our New York Post people there. They'll run with it. New York Post had to do a retraction, by the way, when the trial happened and the Secret Service agent got up and said, well, I'm not going to lie, they were ramming into them. They didn't do anything. And boy, that judge got upset talking to Luke and others that were in there. There's no footage of it. And they would have the girl come in the wheelchair with like a big teddy bear in her lap and try to, you know, they could do something like this to me, folks. They could, you know, have somebody in a wheelchair as I'm walking down the street just to run into me and say I'm attacking children in wheelchairs. I mean, this is what they'll do. So they're sitting there and they go, what do we come up with? Well, we'll have Jesse Ventura says it's good the SEALs are dying. And then he punches him and then runs away. Because, see, they know there's not going to be any report of it. So the guy says, oh, and then I ran away. Right as his book comes out, and he runs a Merck firm, and he's getting weird, creepy awards from... I'm going to pull up the documents. I pulled them up last night and forgot to IM to the guys. I did a bunch of research, but I've got some of it here. It's just mind-blowing to see this happen. But and again, Ventura's out of the country, so we can't get a hold of him. They sure launched this right the perfect day, didn't they? Right as he left the United States and out of pocket. But who knows? I mean, maybe they did get in an argument. Maybe the guy did punch Ventura and then run off. I mean, maybe that happened. Ty says it's impossible. His dad wouldn't say that. I know him, and he wouldn't act like that. But maybe Easter bunnies are real. Maybe there are pots of gold at the end of rainbows and leprechauns. Maybe there are mermaids. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't say 100% that this guy's lying. And again, I don't usually get into soap opera type issues like this, but this is such a illustration of what's happened to our society. And then you look at all the stuff that this guy's into, it is just crazy. And then I've got all these articles about how they're watching the kids at home, the schools are, over their laptops, beyond 1984, just public, back in the news. And children, government to issue bracelets to children to track you even when you're at home. That's mainstream news today. I'm going to be covering checkpoints popping up where the government has machine guns and searches people and checks their IDs. In Tennessee and Florida, again this week, they're popping up, and Michigan. I mean, imagine you're just walking down the street or driving or going in a building, and there's guys in full body armor with German Shepherds lining you up and frisking you and checking your IDs, bugging their eyes out at you. And I've got the footage of this all over the country. You pull up, and there's state police under federal command all, you know, in a rock ready stance, shaking with fury like they're about to climb in the ring and fight some 900 pound goblin. I mean, it's like they've been under mind control or something. They see a station wagon with a family pull up and they act like it's like mind control. I don't know how I get out of this nightmare, how this ends. Where we just try to go report stuff, and there's a guy with a wheelchair ramming it in, going, stop assaulting, stop assaulting. And then you learn the guy's all hooked up with George W. Bush in New York City and the government and government contracts.
We're on the...
A guy rolling out a big mercenary company for your local police to meet insurgents here in America, all part of this delusion that domestic groups are going to engage in all these attacks, so we need to have TSA on the streets running checkpoints. He's the guy now trying to take down Jesse Ventura. All this will do is probably make Jesse actually be more politically involved. He's actually pretty much riding off into the sunset, but they don't care. That's how they operate. Sell some books, you know, say that Jesse's happy Navy SEALs are being killed. That is so ridiculous. On its face, I don't believe it. I mean, just the fact that he says this now, 6 years later, writing a book, and it's not in the book, but he puts it out. I guess the publisher didn't want that in there, did they? I'm going to stop talking about that. It's just, it's intriguing when you start researching something. I remember talking to Jeremy Tallis. That's his nickname. His full name's German Tallis. And saying, okay, you're saying they came out of a doorway, sort of ramming you with a disabled girl in a wheelchair, and then yelling, don't attack her, over and over again. And I'd had Michelle Malkin's people behind me screaming, kill Michelle Malkin, and then leaving with her. So I'd experienced stuff like that. I guess that happened right around the same time, actually. Now go back 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years. So I understand those things go on. And you always know, because suddenly it's in the Denver Post, it's all over the news, it's all over blogs within like 30 minutes with the same talking point, and then we release the video showing it's them behind her. and behind me yelling it, but still the media wouldn't retract till I threatened to sue them. Because I had to. They were defaming me, going, Alex is the guy that says kill women. They're slick, ladies and gentlemen. And then I finally got the footage about a week later because he, you know, had been arrested and stuff, and finally saw it uploaded online, and it showed he wasn't attacking her, but you couldn't really tell because she's ramming in, and he's going, stop it, stop, stop hitting me. Hey, what are you doing? You know, and the camera turns. So we've got that going on. And then it comes out in court, and the Secret Service agents wouldn't lie and said, yeah, no, they attacked him. He didn't do that. And so you never know what's true with all these dirty tricks going on. You just see that when something's rolled out a certain way, it's got the smell, it's got the look, it's got the signature all over it. And it just illustrates the type of dirty tricks we're up against. And then you find out this guy's training police. This country's so gone. I mean, it is so run by foreign banks and all the fake economic numbers they're putting out. And this latest report put out about how Obama's going to cut the military. That's all left cover. Obama increased the overall budget for the military the last 3 years running. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's kind of like they claim that they've pulled out of Iraq, but 70-plus thousand contractors are there, getting paid four or five times what regular enlisted troops are paid, or even officers in many cases. And that's basically a puppet government over there. But they just tell the public the Iraq war is over. I mean, this is a system that is so corrupt that it openly grows the opium in front of everyone and has the Marines and Army and the rest of them guard it and grow it and then put it on aircraft because that's what patriots do. And they put that on Fox News, CNN, BBC with straight faces. And I talk to people that defend the status quo and they go, well, we've got to help grow the opium or Al-Qaeda will get the money. And I'm like, but you want the cops setting up checkpoints to find drugs that the government grew and shipped in and is producing 13 times what they were pre-U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Hey, our government just put Al-Qaeda in charge of Libya on record. You understand that? And they go, yeah, well, sometimes you got to work with Al-Qaeda, but I've got to give all my rights up because of Al-Qaeda. You know, we've got to attack Iran because they're with Al-Qaeda, even though the White House before this one and the current one have five different groups, four of them known Al-Qaeda, attacking the Iranians inside Iran on record, even though our government created Al-Qaeda. Do you understand that? Do you understand Amir al-Awlaki, number three in Al-Qaeda, dined secretly with the Secretary of the Army? That's even Fox News. Do you understand I've interviewed the heads of the U.S. Embassy who were ordered to let Mohammed Atta and others into the country and were told their terrorism designation is a cover. They work for CIA. I mean, this is in the newspapers. I've interviewed the people that saw it happen. I've interviewed the lawyer and his wife who, you know, see the government get the underwear bomber on Christmas Day on the aeroplane a month and a half before the Detroit Free Press had to report it because it was on C-SPAN with the Undersecretary of State saying, don't blame us. We were ordered to help get him on the aircraft by an unnamed U.S. agency. Intelligence. I mean, you can't make this up. You cannot make up the magnitude of evil we're facing as a society. And it's just so creepy how they've got all these well-meaning idiots that will lie, cheat, steal, do anything as long as you tell them you're the good guy. Yeah, we're going to grow the opium and ship it out into America and Europe and everywhere else as a scourge on the streets because we're the good guys. We're going to kill Pat Tillman because he's shooting his mouth off against the war. You're all going to get promoted. Let's frag him. But then the Army coroner wouldn't lie and put on there. It was homicide. He was killed. He was shot at 3 feet away with a M16 set on 3-shot burst. And later it came out what happened. They shot him from 100 yards away. He got behind the rock and he said, "Why'd you do that to me?" Hey, stop, team, stood up. They tried to kill him again. He got behind there. They snuck up on him and shot him in the face. I mean, the military's full of people. If they tell you, they'll kill Navy SEALs. Oh, all this patriotism. Really, I talked to a Navy SEAL right here in Austin, Texas. And his best buddies in SEAL Team 6, and he wasn't killed in the helicopter that blew up in the fake Bin Laden raid, or the one that blew up packed with 20-plus SEAL members. And the word is, well, yeah, they know a bomb was on it. They think Al-Qaeda got a bomb on the helicopter. But then they wonder, how did Al-Qaeda do that? And why did they all get concerned that day? Because they'd never been put that many of them on one of those old National Guard Chinook 1960s era helicopters. And they weren't sent out to save a group that was pinned down. So why'd the media lie? I mean, they all see that it's a PR stunt. They all knew there were complaints when it happened. And they know there was a bomb on the helicopter, but Al-Qaeda must have done it. Yeah, right. They're at the military base. Al-Qaeda knew that that helicopter was going to have a bunch of Navy SEALs sardined like a game of telephone booth into it, and then it was going to go blow up, and they'd have a fake mission you were going on to be heroes for the public back at home. Kind of like Pat Tillman was charging a hill, fighting Al-Qaeda, going up to the top of the hill. Just like the SEALs were going to save Army Rangers pinned down. And then it turned out, oh no, it was a resupply effort. Turns out there was no mission. They admit there was nothing. They just said, get on the helicopter and fly to this point. And the helicopter blows up with all of them on board. And the people that investigated, the SEALs that are alive, think Al-Qaeda stuck a bomb on the helicopter. Come on, guys. You're so tough. You're so mentally tough. You got it all together. But you're so hyped up in this little cult of serving the New World Order that you don't see you're used like garbage. Our military, you could say what you wanted about it, but pre-1990, they wouldn't let anybody use depleted uranium. Nobody. Because it's a death sentence for everybody that uses it. You might die in a year, you might die in 20, but let me tell you, it's about like smoking 10 packs of cigarettes a day and drinking a gallon of Jack Daniels. I mean, it's going to hurt you bad. And I mean, I know the troops. I mean, I know the people. I've got family and who's got family and folks I know who've been sick. And record numbers dying and birth defects. And oh, so what if Fallujah has 14 to 16 times normal level of cancer and birth defects? And then the troops come back, especially from Fallujah, where they blew the whole place up with it. And then they're all dead and dying. And then you got to hear, you know, people going, yeah, we care a lot about the SEALs. So I decked out Jesse Ventura. You don't talk bad about the SEALs. Really? They got you guys using weapon systems. They're going to kill you deader than a hammer. But you don't want to hear that. You're young and tough and you can handle it. And government wouldn't do that to you. Oh, yeah. Did you hear Doug Rocky? Vietnam veteran, combat, right through, service for decades, physicist, other PhDs, writing the book on DU, most of his team dead. He's had 30-something surgeries. This is a fact that the system doesn't care about you. It's a fact that they could care less. And going back to the Romans, they learned how to give them esprit de corps. They learned how to say, you're the elite of the elite, so they'd break their backs more than anybody. And the special, you know, cohorts, the more elite cohorts, and they didn't really have medals then. It was what staff and what eagle they got to carry. And they would do anything. They'd march barefoot, you know, for 3 days through snow because they had the, you know, the top signets, the top logos, the top banners and flags and pennants that they were carrying. And Napoleon wrote about how men would give their lives and throw themselves on the bayonets for little pieces of metal and cloth. He was the one that really deployed medals. Medals. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke when those medals are for empowering a corrupt empire. Empowering a corrupt New World Order while your own homeland, using a fascist Nazi term, by the way, the black uniforms, the Nazi terms. They're adopting all of the fascistic regalia, all the symbols. They're not hiding from it. And then they take the dead and dying veterans' death benefits they've paid for. And, oh, that's not patriotic. You know, don't talk about it. Dr. Doug Rocky didn't want to talk about it on air, but I got him to. And he gets all these hundreds of calls a week, and he calls the local VA. They won't help. He calls the local veterans of foreign wars. He calls the local, you know, veterans groups. And they just go, nope, we're not going to help take that veteran to the VA. Well, he's in a wheelchair now. He's been back from Iraq for 2 years. And, you know, he's a staff sergeant, and he's bleeding, you know, out of his gums and out of his hind end. And I can't take all these people. I'm taking to these guys 3 or 4 days a week, and I'm real sick myself. Can you just give me some people to help me? The VA won't come pick them up. They can't. They're overwhelmed. And I heard of this on the news today, that there's so many troops coming back now, the VA can't handle it. And you call the veterans groups up, because they're all the guys that were, you know, in the military when there weren't wars or whatever, and they're all just kind of sitting back drinking beer. They're like, you want us to go take somebody into the VA or try to get a medical treatment? No, I'm going to drink some beer and sit there and call people ragheads and hodgies and watch Fox News. Like, I saw the comments on New York Post and places, and it's all like, how great. He's right. They are savages. Kill them all. They're going to kill your pension fund. They're going to kill your bank account. They're going to kill the value of your dollar. They're going to take your house when it's paid for. They're going to bring you into a hardcore depression. You think the New World Order is just going to kill some brown people under 15 years of sanctions, a million of them that starved to death or died from medical issues? I've talked to the real troops that came back. They said most of those people are so debilitated that every once in a while, if you killed their family, they'd go dig up an AK-47 and try to shoot you, and then it's called an insurgent. All the disease, the sewage running down the streets, the people starving to death. And any time the contractors come in, it later confirmed, and mow down a bunch of innocent people. It's now been confirmed in federal documents, Blackwater people running around the streets on cocaine, naked, shooting up apartment buildings and cars. And we have videos of similar stuff. And then the people get mad and rise up against it. And so the entire U.S. military lines up and levels the city. And they got snipers racking up their record kills. Well yeah, because in World War II and Vietnam, they're actually fighting an enemy that shot back. Actual soldiers, actual warriors. It wasn't a bunch of starving people running around with drones and sword robots going in and just carpet bombing everything and heavy artillery leveling. And what, maybe 1,000 people out of tens of thousands decided to stand up? And it's just anybody moving in an area, shoot them. And it's like, oh, it's legendary. We can sit here in an office building and shoot people all day. Oh, it's so manly. Meanwhile, you don't care about those Hodges? Well, the New World Order doesn't care about you. And so, and I know you're listening and laughing right now. You're 30 years old or whatever, or you're 25, and you know some of your buddies are kind of sick, but whatever. Yeah, that's what they signed up for, and you know the VA will take care of them. You don't know why your buddy's kidneys are failing or why there's blood coming out of his gums. Or yeah, your buddy did just have a baby girl, and her eyes are in the wrong spot, and she's got holes in her heart, and her, you know, and he's only got half a kidney. But you know what? So what? Shut up, Alex Jones. You're not patriotic. I know you don't care about anybody because you're a tough guy. But a few years down the road, you're going to go in and get diagnosed with that cancer when you're 35 or 40. And then they're going to cut your chest open and go in there and remove one of your lungs. And you get to have all that fun because it really gets the lungs. You guys are really looking forward to some lung cancer. Those little Hodges got to die real quick. Of course, now they get to have all the deformed children, and people make jokes about that. I've seen the websites that post the photos of the horribly deformed children. I see people making jokes about them going, good, let the Hodges die. Oh, well, your kids are going to be popping out like that, too. And is that going to be real cute and funny, too? Because you see, there's one rule in this universe. What comes around goes around. You reap what you sow. You can call it karma if you want, but I'm not talking about in some next life. I'm talking about now. And I shake with fear, not of man, but the only thing I fear, God, the universe, justice. I get chills for you. I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't step on this whole country, this decadent, slovenly, 51 million aborted babies, delusional. I guess they deserve to die too. Are they Hodges too? Everybody's dehumanized now, including our troops. I wouldn't be surprised if God didn't step on this whole country. and crush me and my whole family in the process. I wouldn't slight God just because we're judged. Just because I was standing next to people like you. Now, you can always repent. We can always spiritually make the decision to say what we've all done collectively is wrong. But no. No, we're going to wear black uniforms and skull hats and act real tough and, gee, I'm really good. I shot women. I'll do it again. They're savages. They like to scare people. I scared them. I like to scare people. It's weird. In his book, he's like, I like to scare people. And he's on O'Reilly. He's like, I like to kill people who want to scare people. All right, they're not shutting down any military, folks. They're getting ready for the next big terror attack. So they can say, well, we were going to cut the military, but now we can't. I've seen it scripted. It's a formula. It's all coming up. Stay with us. You know, our criminal government staged the Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam, killed 58,000 Americans, wounded over 300,000. They treated those vets like dog meat. I don't mean the hired hippies that were hired to spit on them to make people hate peace movements. I don't mean that psyop. I mean the VA and the rest of them. And there's this whole culture of just saying you support the troops, but then feeding them into meat grinders. And now you're going to have to deal with troops here at home. And let me tell you, I've had them in New York when I'm videotaping them across the street, run over, scream at me, cuss at me with firearms on their sides for no reason. And it's not the kind of military I've seen or what my family that's in the military looks like. They've got a special brand of dumbed down idiot that they're going to have domestically here in the U.S. And then cops bugging their eyes out in black uniforms with machine guns, looking all paranoid, like any moment a demon is going to jump out of the bushes and eat them. And then they've got all these groups training the local police to just get ready for all Hades to break loose. And it probably is. The system is going to stage a bunch of terror attacks against their minions to get them all hyped up to have a war with the American people. That's what's being prepared. And I keep telling you this since I went to urban warfare drills more than 13, 14 years ago and witnessed them training to come to your house and take your guns. And you've now seen drills in Iowa just a few years ago of this. And you've seen them calling for troops on the streets in America. And then we've got this guy coming out demonizing Ventura, and it turns out he's part of all of that training. Big Brother in St. Louis schools plans to monitor student activity at home. Again, in Pennsylvania, it was the government itself that announced they're watching you at home on your laptops. And then when people backlashed, they said, oh, we're not doing it. They had said they were doing it, but then in a psyop with no respect for you, they said, oh, I mean, we're not doing it. It's a conspiracy theory. Then it came out in court, of course they were, including watching children in their showers. And now they're announcing Big Brother in St. Louis schools plans to monitor student activity at home. You want to be part of our school? You're going to wear a wristband that tracks your heart rate, everything. Elementary schools in Missouri plan to use wristwatch-like devices called Polar Active Monitors to surveil children, not only at school but also at home. Parkway Elementary schools get them while they're young. In St. Louis, plan to collect data about activity levels and even sleep patterns for a week at a time. It will have the students wear the devices round the clock, according to St. Louis Today. A pilot program began in April. Yeah, Department of Defense runs it in San Antonio. They got similar stuff. And AI computer cameras in the classrooms and in the schoolrooms that watch what you eat and what you say. And I'm getting footage sent in everywhere of like telescreens going up in town squares, Walmarts, malls. And it's on the news and you walk in and there's big screens like in every dystopic movie. Running Man, Equilibrium. I mean, every movie where it's a nightmare future, there's big TV screens saying, don't trust your neighbors on them. And now you walk in and they got jumbo screens saying, don't watch your neighbors. And they've got the troops, the ones that that are evil or dumb enough, all ready to wage war against us. And foreign governments training them. German, Dutch, Israeli. I mean, I've been to the urban drills. I've shown you. I mean, it's in the news. And I tell you, this country is just so in such trouble. And you watch a lot of the public's going to line up behind these authoritarians. when they stage this and salute the troops coming down the street, and they'll salute. I've heard them call for it. If I get arrested and taken away, they'll be like, good, arrest that traitor. I mean, I've heard them saying, good, get rid of the posse comitatus. Put troops on the streets. And I've heard them now. The good old boys are like, you know what? Go ahead. Because I heard the right-wingers are working with the Hajis. And I'm like, but I thought you're right-wing. They're like, shut up. We're going to get you. We know you work with Al-Qaeda. And I'm like, no, I don't work with Al-Qaeda. The government does. We're going to arrest you, buddy. We're patriots, and you're not. And I mean, they're ready to turn this country over to pure evil. They want to do it.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
There comes a time in any system when a dam breaks from water or an avalanche begins because of too much snow piling up, or when you put a piece of paper onto a hot stove and then it finally browns and then reaches flash point at a certain Fahrenheit and flashes into flame. Now, in historical perspectives, a couple years is like a millisecond. And we are now entering the flash point where the paper ignites. Before the Constitution was browning and cracking, now it's caught on fire. And the dam broke, the tyranny's flooding in, and the government's like, yeah, we're going to censor you. We got spies in every street corners. We're face scanning you. We're putting passive MRIs in to brain scan you. We're going to have checkpoints everywhere. Now we're setting the checkpoints up. We're going to start censoring the internet. We're going to have machine guns. Yes, we're training your kids to spy on you. Anyone could be a terrorist. I mean, there's PSAs now for kids where they're like, turn in a family member and get $200. I mean, that's from 10 years ago in Road to Tyranny, but now there's new ones out. I mean, everything they were beta testing is now going mainstream. Right as they implode the economy and give us fake numbers that, you know, we're in the best recovery ever and everything's milk and honey. Sorry, half those businesses you used to do business with are shut down, and most of the restaurants you used to go to are shut down, and those factories are shut down. And sorry, your Social Security won't buy what it did before, but there's no inflation, though. And just everything is wonderful. And Obama is announcing that he's going to cut the military because we don't have money. And what they are cutting, and it's small cuts, $100 billion here. Oh, my gosh, that's huge. They got $1 trillion, $100 billion on budget, another $800 to $900 trillion off budget, $800 to $900 billion off budget. That's right at $2 trillion. Oh, so you're going to cut $100 billion. Oh, it's so massive. And the money they're cutting is just going to bail out the mega banks. It's just direct taxation to them. And you know, they're saying we can no longer fight two wars simultaneously. Total bull. This was all planned. Meanwhile, they're using proxy wars against China and Russia, while the very same banking interests are building up China and Russia. You're like, well, how does that work? They fund the Muslim extremist. They fund the Chinese communist. They fund the Russians to a great extent. They fund the more radical groups in Israel. That's like those TV ads demonizing Ron Paul where he says Israel founded Hamas. I mean, they've had debates in the Knesset saying people ought to be arrested for doing it. Whoever did it in the 70s. It was Mossad and Shin Bet. But that's Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, Wall Street Journal. I showed it to you. But they're counting on you being ignorant. It's not America against the Muslims or America against the Chinese, or it's not America against England. You know, when I criticize the corruption of the British Empire system and its control over the U.S. to a great extent, I'm not saying the Brits are bad people. Same thing with Israel. It's not that the Israel runs the U.S. or the U.S. runs Israel. The same globalists run both. The same globalists run China to a great extent. And you're like, well, then why are they trying to start these wars? Because the wars get everybody deeper in debt. And the Chinese can use wars or conflicts to crack down on their public. The mullahs want an attack at many levels because they believe they'll get more political power out of it in Iran. The name of the game is chaos because that gives criminal enterprise more control. Now, Now, I've got incredible, I've got to get to this economic news. I've got to get to the geopolitical news. I've got to get to the lawless Obama regime. And all Rush Limbaugh, they're all freaking out over the fact that he is power grabbing and doing recess appointments nobody's ever done at this level because the Senate's, you know, not in recess. He didn't bring them forward then. They're saying it's unconstitutional. So is Obama launching the Libya war without Congress? Yeah, that's the whole point. But you're also too busy talking bad about Ron Paul, who wants a declaration of war. And who, by the way, is not standing in the way of Israel going after Iran if they think it's in their interest.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, everybody finds a mystery to be intriguing. And that's why I probably spent so much time on it in the last hour, when overall we have a lot bigger issues to deal with. My friend Jesse Ventura is out of the country, just drove into Mexico yesterday. That's brave, in his RV. And they can't get him on his wife's cell phone that doesn't work down there until he gets to Baja. To respond to Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, newspapers all over the country saying that the most lethal sniper Navy SEAL 6 years ago in 2006 sucker punched Jesse Ventura and then ran from him. I mean, that's so pathetic, it makes you want to believe it. But you can't believe that he said, "I'm glad Navy SEALs are being killed." That's tailor-made to make Ventura look bad. I know him well. His son knows him really well. When Tyrell saw that, and I called him and told him about it yesterday, he couldn't believe it. The problem is he's in jury duty. He can't say what the trial is, but it's pretty important there in Minneapolis. And so they're supposed to go at lunch right now. He's supposed to have called in, but his phone's off. They're still in the trial. I had to move Charlotte Israby back 30 minutes with really important information on Skull and Bones and its tie-in to how our entire education system was set up. Of course, her father and grandfather were Skull and Bones. She was the head of policy, Department of Education. She's going to be joining us on that. By the way, I know you keep telling me, Jaron, that she sent us a transcript of the video we did with her. Will you ask Kurt to make sure he posts that right now or to see if that's been posted? Okay, great. Something like a headline like, "Charlotte Israby blows Skull and Bones wide open." That's a good transcript with the video report for everybody. I know it's been out for a month or so and has a few hundred thousand views, but first seen by PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. But it's important, and Charlotte's really proud of the hour-long documentary we did for PrisonPlanet.tv. She thinks it's one of the best works out there. She's the lady that released the secret documents on Skull and Bones in the 80s to Anthony Sutton. She didn't want the credit, but that's what his best-selling book, The Secret Establishment. Okay. 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 So it's a transcript on education, not on the Skull and Bones.
Correct. But we could put them both out together.
Yeah. Put them both out together. Yeah. Put them both out together. That's good. And then we'll get her on. I don't know when we're going to get Ty on because we may have to push her back even more because this is important on the Ventura deal. I don't even know since this morning when I talked to him again if he's talked to him because I want to know. I mean, Jesse, if he said it, he's all about saying what he thinks. You know, if this stuff really happened. I've talked to folks that have called down to the Navy SEAL bar. They said nobody knows about that. That would be well known. You wouldn't keep that secret at a big public event that this supposedly happened. But we're going to find out because, you know, they're saying that he went in the bar and said, "I'm glad Navy SEALs are dying." And the guy punched him, knocked him down, and then the guy ran away from him. I mean, if that's true, I mean, the guy might be telling the truth. I don't want to say he's a liar because I don't have proof of that, but it just doesn't make sense. But the part about saying, "I'm glad Navy SEALs are dead," that has PSYOP written all over it. Then we looked into this guy. Turns out he's training police for, quote, to fight domestic extremists and setting up kind of a Halliburton-style diplomatic protection group. So is rolling out a book he's selling right now. So I wanted to get Ty's take on that, but his phone is still turned off and can't get out of the courtroom, obviously. So we'll see what happens. But I cannot wait to get Ventura on as soon as we're able to get in touch with him when he gets to the Baja in the next day or two. But I remember Ventura telling me off air and on air last week. That was a few weeks ago he was on about the disinformation when they claimed he was road raging and tailgating and the cops pulled him over because he had to go catch his commercial flight. And I'm like, "This happened yesterday?" And he goes, "Yeah, we talked yesterday. You called me in Minnesota." He goes, "The point is I got my lawyer on this. You know, they say I'm out road raging and just making it up on TMZ and Fox News. And TMZ removed it. Fox News removed it. Not really a retraction. So road raging 2 weeks ago, not true. Now he says he's glad Navy SEALs are dead and is getting, you know, knocked to the floor at a Navy SEAL bar when Jesse doesn't drink for decades. And I can have a testament to that. But I told you, they did this to us and we are changed. They involved me in the articles as well. The New York Post, same crew doing this now. Rupert Murdoch, who's known for running wiretapping and dirty tricks and running police and you name it. And that's the system's blackmail on him now to endorse Obama because he's got the Fast and Furious on them. So it's part of the power structure kind of blackmailing each other. But, you know, they don't like We Are Change. They just have people with a young girl in a wheelchair ram them into We Are Change people and then charge them with assault. And then the Secret Service gets on the stand and says, actually, he didn't assault them. They ran into him on purpose. But they had the headline, Truther attacks disabled girl in wheelchair. Now the headlines are Truther Ventura knocked out by Hero SEAL. Right when they knew Ventura was driving into Mexico and it said publicly people can't get a hold of him until he gets to Baja, which is an hour from pavement and doesn't have telephone as well. So Jesse Ventura leaves the country. You know, his phones are tapped. He's been visited by the CIA before. And boom, right as he drives off, the guy pops up that's training our police to deal with domestic extremists and is part of this group set up by Richard Perle and Dick Cheney, National Security Affairs Institute. And, he's going to help train our police to fight the domestic extremist. By the way, I'm going to try to get this Chris Kyle on the show. Just incredible. But again, as soon as Tyrell is able to get out of there, we'll get him on, or we'll just get Charlotte on, and then when he calls in, we'll just do a brief report and continue there. Some of the other news I want to get to, I want to analyze the way they make it a joke, but at least they are covering it, and that is Comedy Central. I meant to play it yesterday, but I didn't, coming out about the NDAA and that it allows the secret arrest of citizens and for citizens to disappear into dungeons, and now this is the essence of tyranny, the essence of corruption. And then we just have all these articles coming out now. It's not just Florida. DHS officers armed with semi-automatic set up unannounced ID checkpoint. We're going to be getting into more of that, but the martial law rollout is happening. But is Jesse Ventura vindicated by warning about military on the streets? Is Ron Paul? Am I? No. We're demonized for talking about what's now happening. Now shifting gears to filmmaker, director, TV producer, Tyrell Ventura, son of Jesse Ventura, the only guy in the U.S., his mom and dad, obviously, you know, ties here in the United States. Jesse went into Mexico yesterday, and he hasn't been able to raise him yet, at least since this morning. He just got out of jury duty. Have you been able to talk to your dad? Have you found anything out yet? And what's your take on what this gentleman, who has a book that came out 2 days ago, is saying about your father, Tyrell?
No, I have not been able to talk to my father at all. Like I said, he's traveling in Mexico right now, and there's obviously no cell phone. You know, cell phones don't work in the desert and things like that. So I have not been able to get a hold of him to ask him about the accusations and the incident that this guy is referring to. Obviously, I have, you know, the utmost respect for this man's service record and things like that. And I want to be clear that I don't know anything about the story that he's talking about. I've never heard anything about that. It certainly doesn't. I've never ever heard my father ever make any kind of remark about wishing American soldiers dead. I've never heard him ever say anything in that nature. So it does sound pretty ludicrous to me.
Also, I did some research. He was there at that Navy SEAL bar, reportedly with hundreds of people in it. It's a big place there on the beach. In 2006, he was speaking to a BUDS class, and I saw people commenting on the different SEAL sites and stuff saying they were there the whole day and that this never happened, and that even if they weren't there, this would have been talked about. This would have been known, and there's people posting photos they took with your dad there that day. You know, that was when he had the Johnny Depp, you know, pirate, you know, a beard and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's so. I mean, it would be pretty shocking to me that if somebody were to assault my father in a bar, that we wouldn't have heard about it sooner than, you know, however many, you know, seven years later. You know, it seems pretty wild that an incident like that would go down the way he said. That we wouldn't have, you know, we wouldn't have heard about it in 2006 or 2007 or two. You know, it seems weird that something of a violent nature, the way he's describing.
By the way, I met your father for the first time 1 week after when this incident happened, because that's when they were there for a Congressional Medal of Honor winner, SEAL, who died in Iraq. I met your father 1 week after this event, and I did an interview with him. I can, and it's on video. I can testify there was not a mark on his face. And he was probably in the best shape he's been in a while. That's probably how he blew his hip. He'd been running every day. He was very thin, in good shape, tan, in the interview. No bruises, no nothing, 1 week after this incident.
I never heard about it. Like I said, I haven't been able to talk to Dad directly or anything like that. So I don't know what his take is on this yet. All I can say is that I've never heard of it before. To my best recollection, I'm pretty sure that if my dad was punched in a bar, I would have heard about it.
In a packed bar,
maybe. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure I would have heard about that. But I obviously it's well documented his feelings about the Iraq War and our involvement in it. Obviously, it's well documented about his feelings about you know, President Bush and Vice President Cheney. So that side of the conversation that this guy supposedly heard, you know, I can say, yeah, I mean, I've heard him. Not in that particular incident, but I have heard my dad's feelings on that, as opposed to my dad ever saying anything about wishing American soldiers dead or saying they deserve to die or anything of that nature. It does not sound like my dad, and it doesn't sound like anything he'd say.
Well, I have seen him when SEALs have been killed. I talked to him privately. He was very upset. You know, with the camaraderie and everything.
Well, that's why he doesn't want the wars. He doesn't want anyone getting killed. He doesn't want soldiers getting killed. He doesn't want civilians getting killed. He doesn't want anyone getting killed. And so it would, like I said, it doesn't sound like him.
Well, he's always so respectful of military people in airports and stuff, and he always thanks them for their service and says, you know, I hope we can get you guys home and out of harm's way. And, you know, he's worried about DU, and I've seen him when the SEALs helicopter blew up, the mysterious SEAL Team 6 situation. He was upset when I talked to him privately. And, I mean, just imagine, oh, here's their family. Please stop. It sounds like it's scripted to make him look bad. Here's the family, Jesse, Governor. Please stop talking bad about the SEALs. No, I'm glad they're dead. I mean, that is just, I do not believe that.
It's so out of character of him that I can't imagine that's what happened. Like I said, I haven't talked to him, so I have no idea. But it just seems so out of character for him to wish harm upon his fellow SEAL team members. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, it's interesting this guy's got a book out right now. And, I mean, that he would announce this now that the book came out, and that he would say that he punched him, it knocked him down, but not out, and that he then ran away, and that the SEALs teach him to punch and run away. I mean, that sounds like a joke.
I don't know much about the guy himself. Obviously, he's a veteran. That part of what he's described doesn't make any sense to me at all. You know, so I don't know. You know,
reportedly, some of your dad's,
I mean, in terms of talking about like whether SEALs get trained to punch and run away or not, I'm not a Navy SEAL. I don't know.
That's ridiculous. Well, sure, you obviously throw a hand grenade and run away, but the point is,
look.
What is, you know, your dad probably better than anybody. You've worked with him as an assistant and then as a director, but your own films you've made separate from that. You know, you're a producer on the TV show, everything. Great cinematographer, everything. You work with your dad constantly, and you, I know you don't probably want to repeat what you told me last night, but you know, your words were, this is pure BS. After you saw the first video, and correct me if I'm wrong, but then you went on to say, I'm not looking forward to telling my dad about this.
Well, of course not. My dad never likes to hear people speaking ill of him. You know, I mean, nobody does. You know, I mean, I you know, he just is getting down to Mexico. He's, you know, going to kind of recharge. You know, you hate to deliver bad news like this, but oh, somebody's saying, you know, negative things about you, and really, you know, saying that you were involved in a violent altercation and that, you know, you were wishing harm to servicemen, you know, he doesn't want to hear that. And I know that that really upsets him when he hears things like that.
Doesn't this sound like about the NASA?
When he hears things that are potentially false, you know, he doesn't like it when people speak falsely about him.
Now it could be, like we talked last night, maybe part of it's true. Maybe they did get in an argument. Maybe, I mean that part perhaps could be true. We don't know because Jesse Ventura's out of...
I don't know. I haven't talked to him, so I don't know. But, I mean, my dad is not afraid to voice his opinions about current events and things like that.
But there's no way he would say, especially in front of a family, I think SEALs deserve to die. I mean, that is clear bull.
It doesn't sound like him at all. And you know, that does not sound like my father.
Yeah, so, But again,
I haven't talked to him directly, so I mean, I don't even know, you know, I mean, as soon as I get word about, you know, from him, you know, regarding what this guy's saying, I'll know more about it then, but I mean, as of right now, it just doesn't sound like his character, it doesn't sound like him.
Well, Ty, we appreciate you taking time out of jury duty right now to do this, yeah. And then the few minutes you've got for lunch, we've only got about 5 minutes left here with you.
Yeah.
But obviously, this is now on the heels of 2 weeks ago. I just so happened, I only talked to him like every few weeks, to talk to your dad, you know, about coming on before he left town. And he said, yeah, call me next week. I'm talking to him in Minnesota. I call your Minnesota number. I talk to him. Then the next day it's on the news. I hadn't even seen it yet, that he's road raging. He calls into the show to say, I'm here in Minnesota. They didn't really retract it. They just removed it. He said, I hope this isn't a dirty trick. And now we see this happening right when he goes into Mexico. That is kind of creepy.
It is a strange coincidence that you know, the moment that he's out of the country and is unable to directly respond on the same day, you know, is a creepy coincidence. You know, I don't know. I mean, the guy's out promoting a book. You know, I saw the interview with Opie and Anthony. You know, apparently some caller called in to ask about it, which, you know, okay, that you know, that's on their word. I don't know. Maybe someone did it. Who knows?
It looks staged. You agree with my analysis?
I would say that it definitely, you know, it smells of PR. It smells of publicity. You know, it smells of you know, publicity stunt. You know, but
well, he also makes fun of your dad and calls him a geriatric. I mean, your dad's in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah. It's I can't speak for him. I don't know what's in his head, but I do know that, you know, obviously he probably disagrees with my father's opinions on the war and opinions on Bush and Cheney, and you know, that probably upsets him. But it sounds like it does.
Well, let me fill you in on the guy. Of course, the most famous turkey shoot is Fallujah, and he brags about shooting a woman, and he calls them savages, it's pretty incendiary. He's from right here in Texas. He's a good old boy, rodeo bronc, you know, get rider, you know, chip off the old block, as they'd say. Seems like a nice guy at many levels, but doesn't seem like he's super intellectual or that smart compared to some of the SEALs I know. And he's sitting there. He has a mercenary firm out of North Texas that prepares local police to fight insurgents in America. So the whole rollout we see happening. And he advises the U.S. military and is involved with some Israeli groups that advise U.S. military. He's been given awards by a group and works with a group created by Richard Pearl and Dick Cheney. This guy's pretty... Yeah.
Sounds like he's a pretty connected guy. You know, like I said, I don't know much about him. I've been kind of on jury duty, so I haven't been able to really follow up extensively with who he is and things like that. I've, you know, been trying to get my rest so I can be a good juror.
If this turns out to not be true, or parts of it, large parts of it aren't, I mean, your dad is not going to just probably lay down and take it.
I can't imagine that. I can't imagine he wouldn't lay down and take it. But I don't know. I'm not him. You know. But I if this is untrue, which it really smells like it is, I'm sure my dad will speak. I don't know. I mean, it's up to him.
Well, he's the only person ever beat Vince McMahon in a lawsuit. He didn't beat the TSA, but he sure tried. They just wouldn't give him a trial. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know your dad's not litigious, but he's not going to lay down and take this if it's
I can't imagine that you know. Yeah, I like I said, I don't want to speak for him because I haven't been able to talk directly for him, and I'm not him. If it was me, and I was in a situation where someone were to, you know, make up something completely false and say that I believed in the killing of U.S. soldiers, if it was me, I would. If I was able to bring a defamation lawsuit or something like that, of course I would. You know, but that's me. I'm not my dad. So, you know, we'll just have
Well, this guy's certainly making himself, you know, a big name, and I guess he'll get some big government contracts out of it, and maybe some big guys told him to go with it, or maybe part of it's true, or six years later, his memory's not clear. But, I mean, I just know your dad pretty darn good. You know him a lot better than I do, obviously. And I've seen him talking to troops, getting tears in his eyes, and talking how much he hates troops dying and the Navy SEALs and the Navy and how...
Well, that's the very reason that he dislikes the war, is that he doesn't want to see soldiers or innocent civilians getting killed for a war based on lies. And you know, that's why he's against it in the first place. He doesn't want to see people getting killed for no good reason. So that's what I mean. It makes no logical sense to me that he would wish death upon servicemen when his whole stance against the war is that he doesn't want to see servicemen or civilians getting killed.
So basically, we can conceive exactly that your dad may have been sucker punched and this guy ran off, which he says he did, which is really weird.
I really doubt he was even sucker punched. I don't know. Like I said, I think I would have heard about...
Exactly, but that could be in the realm... a possibility, like a Loch Ness monster, but that he would say, troops need to die. I like it when U.S. troops die. That's in the realm of Easter bunnies.
Yeah. I mean, I could never see my dad saying that, or even remotely. If he's, I can't even see him saying it sarcastically. But once again, I don't know until I talk to him directly.
Well, and I know you didn't even want to come on and speak for him, but then you changed your mind and said, well, I guess if I can't get a hold of him, somebody's got to respond. I hope the media doing this hit job will at least look at what you've said. And obviously, he called here a few weeks ago on the last fake piece of news that was proven fake. So the line is, Ty, you call me anytime.
I can assure you, Alex, that the moment that I get word from him on what to do and if that involves... talking to you again or something of that nature, whatever we decide, I will let you know.
Yeah, anyway. I'll drive into the studio anytime at midnight, you know, 6 in the morning, whenever he wants to tape an interview or do it live. We're here. Tyrell Ventura, get back to jury duty and get some lunch. I'll call you this evening, bro.
All right, take care of yourself. Great work.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, I thought this might be true until I learned he's hooked up with Dick Cheney and Richard Perle, known as the Prince of Darkness, by the way, at the Pentagon. I'm done talking about the Ventura mystery until we hear from Jesse. But we've covered it in detail today. You probably spent 30 minutes total in the last hour and a half on it or more, because it just gets into psyops and it gets into the type of things they'll do. I mean, take Jesse Ventura. They knew he was major political material back when he was more mainstream, before he fully woke up. In 2000. So they come to him in 2001, 2002. They come to him in 2002. They give him a big contract, close to $10 million, $9 million plus, for a 3-year contract to host a primetime show on MSNBC, back when we actually had viewers. And then the war starts, and he says, no, I'm not going to be pro-war. And they say, okay, you can keep the money, but you're barred from even giving it back. We'll sue you if you even try to give it back. And he said, no, I keep contracts. And they say, no media interviews of any type. Look at your contract. And so for 3 years, until 2006, he's gone. They paid him close to $10 million. And later he was told by folks, you were approached. MSNBC gets government money, which we now know from banker bailouts and things that have come out. But back then, this was wild to hear. And the government actually wanted you tied down, and you would have had the job and been this big TV guy if you would have played ball. But if not, they were just going to shut you down, and they had you profiled. And so that was the plan all along. So they paid him $9+ million. He's now talked about this since. Actually broke it a few years ago here on my show. And that all of this went on. So now they're getting ready to launch an Iran war. They know Jesse Ventura's floating around thinking about coming back. If there was an attack on Iran, he was thinking about getting involved in the political process, at least giving speeches or whatever. That at least was being looked at, I can tell you. He was thinking about running for president. There was some other talk I'm not going to get into, but the point is that he's got major name recognition, and that's what's valuable in politics. So he is this commodity. And so this smells completely of PSYOP, the way it was deployed, the way it was put out, the way it was done, the way it was said, just the whole thing. I mean, it's like when you walk into a clothing shop. I'm not even, you know, a clothes horse and know that much about it, but I've learned enough to know the cut of a fine suit or an Armani. Don't have an Armani suit, but I've learned what they look like from movies and TV, and I've been in stores. I've seen them. I'm like, are those Armanis? Yeah, those are Armanis. About 2 years ago, I was at Nordstrom's buying some shoes. Says, are those Armani suits? Like, yeah, how'd you know? Well, I see that cut. With this, it's a lot more obvious, like a yellow Volkswagen drives by or a red fire truck. That's a red fire truck. I mean, you know a PR rollout when you see one. And the, you know, a book comes out, all this is done, and it just shows you that as soon as I investigated the guy, and he may be dumb and being handled, being manipulated, and part of it's true, and they got him to spin it, but you know, part of PSYOPing and moving to the next level out of the military is doing bad things. And I don't know if that's the case yet. The guy conceivably could be telling the truth. Tyrell says he doesn't think so, and I tend to agree with him. It just shows you what they're capable of. So if they ever do stuff like this to me, you know, I'm walking down the street and they jump out with a, you know, quadriplegic kid in a wheelchair and say I assault him, like they did our reporters up in New York, and it turned out it was staged with, again, News Corps and the New York Post. And it came out in court. It was staged. The Secret Service wouldn't lie. I mean, they could do any of this to us, folks. So we just need to remember. You asked Ron Paul. That was the point I wanted to make before we go to Charlotte. Think of what they're trying with Ron Paul. One of my reporters just ran in. I've got to learn more later. But reportedly, they're putting ads out now claiming they're Ron Paul ads. But they aren't his Ron Paul ads, saying bad things about Asians and blacks and people. So I've got to learn about this dirty trick. I mean, it's going to get crazy. By the way, we told you about this 2 days ago. It's now in the news. In fact, I had it here in my stack. They're admitting on NPR, and they're admitting on other mainline newspapers that Romney was given votes that were not his. And it's the same thing with Huntsman. I've got a whole stack on that. I mean, there's a certain point where you can't even keep track of this anymore. They're supposed to call in at all these precincts, and now it turns out in a whole bunch of them, it's been confirmed. We don't know how many, though, but it's been confirmed in a bunch of them. We know the precincts that they told them, just put it in a truck and drive it to this other location to have them counted, and then we'll call that in. And then trucks didn't make it, and then they had gentlemen's agreements. We played that clip from Fox News with Karl Rove deciding to give, what, 6 more points to Huntsman, clearly making him beat Ron Paul. I mean, it's just confirmed. But it's too sophisticated for the general public. Yeah, that was Santorum. At a certain point, I can't even keep track of it anymore. This is what these people do. They just swarm me with disinfo. And they know the public's halfway paying attention. People on the street go, I've seen you on TV with Hulk Hogan on that conspiracy show. And I go, it's Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory. That's Jesse Ventura. That was back when one of my neighbors was a bank manager, pretty smart guy. And I'm like, no. And he was arguing with me. He goes, no, you got a show with Hulk Hogan. I'm like, no, man, I don't have a show with Hulk Hogan. And it's the same thing. I know I'm going to hear people down the road, well, that's that Hulk Hogan guy got punched out by a Navy SEAL. It just never ends how they count on people not paying attention. And how they manipulate you. Now, I'm very excited to have Charlotte Iserby on with us till about 40 after next hour. So we'll have her for more than an hour here with us today. We put out a documentary that's free to the public. We've got it linked up today at Infowars.com. Charlotte Iserby blows Skull and Bones wide open. She originally did it decades ago, but didn't want the credit, giving investigative reporter, well, formerly top congressional researcher, Anthony Sutton, the material to put out his books on the Skull and Bones, which were the definitive tomes. But I've got her on today to Nexus. I probably should have told her this ahead of time, but just to recap before she gets more into education, the history of Skull and Bones setting up modern education in Europe, in Germany, here in the U.S., and those connections. And, of course, she knows about Skull and Bones because her father and grandfather were, and she has a lot of the internal documents and has one of their official grandfather clocks and a lot of information she showed us that was put out for the first time. A lot of it was not put out for the first time but was integrated together for the first time as well. So as a public service, we, of course, to understand the secret establishment, understand what we're up against, put that out to the public. PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, of course, saw it first. Her original Dallas phone book size book is no longer in print, but is free on her website, graciously, because she wants to stop these tyrants. But I convinced her, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, I said, and others did, I said, why don't you come out? I know you said you weren't going to print it again. You don't want to mess with it. You're retired and want to travel the world and things. You've done your service. But why don't you just reprint it again? People want it. And she said, no, it's free on the website. And then I said, well, you've got all these new articles you've written. Why don't you put those together in a book? She said, you know what I'll do? I'll just kind of update, revise, and abridge my big phone book size one and put out the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, Revised Abridged Edition, Charlotte Thompson Iserby. And so this is now available at Infowars.com. We've got a treasure trove of them, and I hope that you order them because once these run out, we don't know if she'll ever even reprint them because, again, the question is, does she want to deal with that? She may just put it out for free again. But if you want a hard copy of this new version of Deliberate Dumbing Down, full of all the documents and all the incredible proof of the plan to dumb down our children and turn us into basically servile animals that are incapable of thought, as Bertrand Russell said, they'll dumb us down with diet, injections, and injunctions and education to the point of it'll be like sheep revolting against the process of and the fashion of eating. It would be like sheep revolting against the practice of eating mutton. Again, if I sound a bit out of it today, sometimes can't recall things quite as well. I cracked some ribs and separated some ribs, dropping a weight on myself in a weightlifting accident last weekend, so I'm a little bit out of it. Not on painkillers. The painkillers make me nauseous. I am on about 10 Advil today so far, but I'm just a little bit out of it, so bear with me today. Okay, so joining us is Charlotte Iserby to break down this information. Charlotte, it is wonderful to have you here. I want to go to the beginning. Briefly, Skull and Bones, the tie-in, and then what the plan was, what you discovered in the 80s as the head of policy, number two position, Department of Education, your whistleblowing, and now what's currently happening with education and your warning for the public. But we salute you for your work, and thank you for reissuing a new book. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Alex, and thank you, all of your audience, for your support, you know, through the years. I think the best place for people to go is, and you have that PDF, I believe, up on your website now. At least
yes.
I asked for that. It's a PDF, and it's called America's Road to Ruin. And there were two marvelous gals, researchers, that I respect highly, very involved in the extraordinary research all of us have done on this, who heard that first video that was filmed on the river here, saw it, Alex's video, that those guys did a good job on, and it was in regard to education. But it really dealt with everything, right? I didn't deal so much with the order, and I will deal with that within about 2 minutes. But it dealt with my whole life since I was went abroad when I was 21 years old. And it's beautifully done. It's a transcript. The gals transcribed that video, Alex. And then one of our most talented people, Deborah Niwa, who's in publishing and graphics and all, put it all together, even as a picture of my little dog on it and my husband and me, as a PDF. So your listeners can click on that, and they can read that. It's 16 pages. That's the video that your great guys did when they were up here, the first one. Then the second one was on the order, And I don't know what, that has not been transcribed, but I hope people will go and look at it because it has had a maximum number of hits. It was, these have been very good videos. And by the way, I just think your guys are great. You have a tremendously capable staff there with, creating these videos. But let's, you know, I found out something about the order. It's great. Actually, I found out more about the order since you got onto it, and actually since Anthony Sutton got onto it, than I ever knew before, because obviously, as George Bush would say, it's a secret, so I can't talk about it. I mean, I don't know anything about it, basically, because it was a secret, and my father and grandfather couldn't talk about it, but I did know all their friends. And that did, that really helped out a great deal. There's a tremendous amount, there's a very interesting chapter in Chris Milligan's book on the order. What's it called? Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. That book has not been reprinted, but it's a wonderful book, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. And Chris Milligan knew Anthony Sutton, too. I did a chapter in there that's quite interesting. If anybody wants to go, I think it's you may be able to find that on the Internet, about my family's connections as well. Now, when I after the last interview that we did on this, I thought, you know, I was looking through some of my old files, and I found a very interesting article from one of the little old patriotic newsletters that we managed to get around the country in regard to Harold Howe and how he was responsible under Lyndon Johnson for all the major changes in education, using, of course, the minorities to bring about the destruction of our education system that we're looking at today with consolidation, getting rid of little schools and all this. Remember way back in the 60s, they said it was because they wanted the minorities to have a better education. That wasn't it at all. Harold Howe came out and said with this integration, he was going to totally turn the education system on its head. And so they put in busing and they did all this and that. And here my little head is going, I'm thinking, Harold Howe, you know what? I'm going to go take a look in one of those.
Well Charlotte, listen, I want you to get into that. But for you to say, I know nothing about it and giggle, you gave Anthony Sutton the documents, the materials, the role list, the information when nothing was known. Your father, you know, his father were skull and bones. I mean, you do know a lot. Your son knows a ton. A lot of ground.
We know a lot, but listen, Alex, what I want people to know is this is so important. And you interrupted me, okay? Harold Howe, I looked him up. Here, you want to hear what he was at Skull and Bones? He's Skull and Bones. Now, this I'm going to say this convinces me that the order at Yale, and I didn't really have to be too much convinced, but when I found this out, I'm convinced that the order at Yale of Skull and Bones is responsible for the complete transformation of American education to workforce training, to considering our children as nothing but animals, which was the philosophy of Wilhelm Wundt in Leipzig, who trained all the American educators, starting with Hall, going over in the mid-1800s, trained them in how to not educate, but to train our children as animals using Pavlovian methods, Skinner. I know that's true. I'm absolutely convinced. And when I read that Harold, and I'm going to read Harold Howe, 1940, Skull and Bones. This is on page 128 of one of those little black books. It says here, education, born August 17, 1918, Hartford, Connecticut, vice president for education and research, Ford Foundation, and the address. Residence, very fancy, always these guys, east side of New York City. Yale Corporation, elected member, successor trustee, principal, Walnut Hills High School, Cincinnati, 53 to 57, goes on Newton Junior College, etc. Superintendent of Schools, Scarsdale, New York, director of Learning Institute of North Carolina, trustee, Vassar College, trustee, College Entrance Exam Board, U.S. Commissioner of Education, 1965 to 68. That's when the damage was done, if you recall, folks. The damage was...
Yeah, most people aren't experts on education like you are.
Well, that's when the total upheaval, putting outcomes, performance-based education, elementary and secondary education.
That's when dog training came in, and so that's why this is so key.
When the dog training came in, they changed from teaching the teachers, teaching students history, math, science, and all what they know in their head, to what they can do, performance. Then they retrained all the teachers as little psychiatrists after 1965, which was what Brock Chisholm, the Canadian psychiatrist, good friend of Alger Hiss, called for, getting rid of the conscience. And if you're going to get rid of the conscience, you have to use psychiatry. And the reason they want to get rid of the conscience was, now let's get into the war business. Hmm?
Stay there. We're going to come right back. But again, and you're perfectly suited to discover this, family who's skull and bones, you expose that. You're the person that first released information. Then you're an expert on education, former head of policy. And then you learn, hiding in plain view, that that was their real secret power. And you trace it right back to the German mind control engineers they used on the Hessian mercenaries. Wonder why people can't think. You wonder why they seem to be so dumbed down. You wonder why they giggle at you when you talk about a new world order, because they've been Pavlovian conditioned that it's cute and funny, and the info babe laughs on Fox News when they talk about it. So they're winners psychologically when they're losers. And then there's the chemicals in the water, everything else. But German scientists, it's on record, developed what became psychiatry. It's not Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud and all that. So, and of course, the Germans developed the Hessian soldiers, who loved being slaves, loved being military slaves. They had slavery in Germany, white slaves, and they were happy to be white slaves. And they said, well, the British royalty was German royalty. It was really Transylvanian royalty. They'd always said, you've got the best soldier slaves. How do you do it? They don't even run off very often. Though some of them did actually run off here, because there were big German communities. They broke their conditioning. You know, they had the blue uniforms, the big black boots. That's where that all comes from, Hessian boots. And they were the main force that was backing up the Redcoats. And, of course, Washington beat a bunch of them at Trenton, New Jersey, famously. But Charlotte, the point is, in the video that we just reposted along with the PDF report you talked about at Infowars.com, you break it all down eloquently with the documents. But the British royalty funded people to go over and figure this out. And then you've got the German and the British connection funding Skull and Bones being set up as this think tank. Please continue, because this is so key, what you discovered and all these connections.
Well, it's terribly important, because when I started out, I didn't understand behavior, operant conditioning. It's so simple, folks. It's simply when you go to the doctor hits your knee, you know, used to anyway, with a little hammer, and your knee pops up. It's a neurological reaction. And Wilhelm Wundt, with a psychologist in the mid-1800s in Leipzig, he finally realized that he could not do anything with getting people to change their behavior, just using regular philosophy and psychology, because the soul, he couldn't deal with the soul. It floats around, right? So he decided just to use the neurology. And if you can understand that, you understand why Americans just have these reflexes, and you tell them something, and they, if you reward them immediately, they'll do anything you want for the rest of time. But the important thing about this relationship with Skull and Bones is that Wilhelm Wundt, he was born in 1832 in Germany. His father was a minister. His grandfather, Kirchner Karl Casimir Wundt, was professor of Heidelberg University, and the Illuminati Order documents that we've been able to get a hold of, that Raphael in the Illuminati is identified as the same Professor Karl Casimir Wundt, and is referred to in the Illuminati Provincial Report from Utica, 1782. Now, that is the grandfather of Wilhelm Wundt. So this method that is being introduced in the United States, mainly, of course, to the computer, because as B.F. Skinner said, the computer is my box, and Skinner followed in the steps of Pavlov, who, interestingly enough, was trained by Wundt, not the other way around. So what's going in now is this method I'm talking to you about, this minute, operant conditioning. Now, you know it with your dog. You know, you want your dog to sit. You give him a dog biscuit. He'll sit for you the next time. When I first saw this in the U.S. Department of Ed, I wondered, all these books that I would see in the bookshelves, the department said, what works? And I didn't pay much attention. One day I pulled it out, a book out, and I saw, this is under Carol Bell.
Yeah, this is some of the big secrets here. Stay there. Charlotte Iserby is our guest. The amazing book, back in print, The Deliberate Dominion of America, available at InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, we've got the West Point grad who was arrested for photographing police here in Austin. It's a big story now a national story, because it looks like they set him up. He's going to be in studio with us. He's pretty stressed out from all the attention he's given. He's going to be on the nightly news tonight. We've got some other guests as well. Paul Watson will do the news portion. I'm going to do the two interviews this evening. The comedian and social commentary guy, Lionel, will also be on with us via Skype. But let's go back to Charlotte Iserby. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. So, Charlotte, you start discovering all of this, and then now years later are able to tie it into Skull and Bones. But you were saying you pulled off the shelf at the Department of Education this book that was talking about what works.
What works? Well, what works is animal psychology. And that's just what I told you with your dog. You can train your dog. It's very, very simple. All of you must understand that is the computer technology. When your child is the computer, which is no more books. Books are down the tubes. All the history of this is in my book, which is the abbreviated version, but it's a fantastic version. Nothing chronological has been taken out. And this is the history of what happened. But it's the getting into the computer. When the top people, like at YCAT, World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching, Dustin Houston said this, folks, and parents listen. He knew what was coming. This was 20 years ago. He said, won't it be wonderful when the student in the most remote part of the country can have the equivalent of five of the world's greatest psychologists on the computer, and nobody will be able to get between that the student and the software, the computer. So it's just very, very dangerous. And even the top educators who are involved in computer technology, ones that I got fired for leaking a document by one of these educators. It was one of his major grants, Better Education Skills Through Technology. This fellow, Donald Ely, he admitted in his internal papers that if you don't agree as a computer tech guy or professor, if you don't agree with the message, you do not put it on that software. You have to have a conscience because it is so powerful. Now, folks, this is what's going in now. No more books. Now, what we're going to say...
Well, I mean, it allows total centralization.
This is what Skull and Bones brought back into the United States from Wilhelm Wundt, who was directly connected with the Illuminati. This is what they brought back to this G. Stanley Hall into the United States. They stacked all of the universities, Columbia, Chicago, etc., with people like Dewey, Thorndike, et al., who believe man is nothing but an animal to be trained. Now, C.S. Lewis was the one who said, when you stop educating and you start training, which is what they're doing right now for the planned economy, global, when you stop educating and you start training, civilization dies. Now, that's C.S. Lewis, all right? Now, my little book, the abbreviated version, is fantastic. All the sections that have been taken out, the big chunks, the appendices, the index, etc., are available free at my website. It's a free download, the old book, The Big Baby. So anybody who wants to check on what may have been removed, there are three little dark D's whenever something's removed. They just go on the Internet. But it's a very user-friendly, beautiful book. I find myself, my son said to me, Mom, I've never seen you reading your book as much as you're reading it now. Well, I am, because it's so nice and small and handy, and I just delight in my own book. It was always very, very big, and we had people who loved it, obviously, or it wouldn't be out of print and selling for $1,000 in some places, you know, ridiculous, $200, $400, $600 at Amazon. It's the old book, right? The people who've got old copies or whatever. But it was always large and rather cumbersome. So now this is a beautiful version that you can give to your friends.
It is. Charlotte, stay there. Let's come back. We got to go to break. Let's tie in the Illuminati to Skull and Bones to education.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yesterday, I interviewed an investigative journalist breaking down government documents where over 40 known cancer viruses were added to the polio vaccines. It's still done. I have other top scientists and doctors like Russell Blaylock on, and the only conclusion they can come to is that it's being done by design. The aspartame, the MSG, the additives. And then lo and behold, we have all these UN and Club of Rome documents in Rockefeller Foundation where they're adding the chemicals into the food, the water, the additives, the printer ink. And so Charlotte Isby's hitting it from another angle, breaking down Skull and Bones and where the elite got this philosophy to dumb people down. Now, they put this fog of chemicals and things out there, but then to make us animals and to tell us we're animals that don't have free will while they play the part of God. These Illuminati believe they are man. We are the profane animal. But to make us the animal, they bombard us with this and then try to train us, not educate us. And that's programming versus learning the mysteries of the world, learning to enjoy knowledge and systems. They want people to be very, very one-dimensional. Now, Charlotte Isby is not only one of the most famous whistleblowers, and I'm building her up, you know, she'll talk herself down, but I mean, she was the head of policy, Department of Education, that blew the whistle, brought the documents out, got basically fired over it, and her book documents that, the deliberate dumbing down of America. But then she's also the lady that helped give Anthony Sutton the material that exposed Skull and Bones. But in decades later, continuing to research, that was hiding under her nose as well, that it was Skull and Bones that actually set the modern policy for all of this. Now you were getting into the Illuminati connections, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Well, this is fascinating. I mean, things that happened in my life are unbelievable. You're right. For about 30 years, I did all the research on B.F. Skinner and Pavlov and how these methods, like the reading method, direct instruction that the conservatives managed to get across the country now because it's necessary for workforce training. Of course, they got into reading first, experimenting on the minorities with it, et cetera. But I was studying this stuff, and I knew it makes children sick. I have a friend, a great teacher in Arizona, Ann Herzer, who educated me, and I have all the documents from doctors about how this operant conditioning, these programs make children sick. And, you know, anyway, so here I'm looking at all this. I have all the major documents. It takes me quite a long time. I understand that, but I had no idea that the order at Yale that my father and grandfather belonged to, it was the order that actually brought this method back from Germany. And it's very interesting. You see, the Germans are extremely involved. involved in this. They were, and perhaps still are. I mean, in the fluoride thing and all. Dennis Cuddy's just written a wonderful new book, which my son is reading, and which deals with how all of this stuff is the Germans, is Nazi stuff too. So it's not just the communists. It's the Nazis, the fascists, the socialists. I always say America's not an ism country, but we are really deep in the mess right now with the isms. But anyway, going back to the order, so little Charlotte, you know, the one that gets fired from the department for leaking these documents, I knew how bad the Department of Education was. It's total Marxist factory, right? I all of a sudden, you know, I find out most of this, I found out from Anthony Sutton, who had done the research. He's the one who found out about the connection with Wilhelm Wundt with the Illuminati. Wilhelm Wundt's grandfather was a member of the Illuminati. Well, I remember I sent Tony Sutton, there were some documents in German that I never saw again, but I sent them to Sutton. I didn't know what they were, but Sutton got them, and I don't know whether I lost them when he returned them. But anyway, I am quite truly convinced that, let's look at it this way, folks. There is nothing more important than the loss of free will. We have a soul and a conscience. What was brought back from Germany, operant conditioning, Pavlov studied under Wundt, this is the method to destroy the human individual made in the image of God, to destroy his conscience. You must remember this. You probably think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. This is what we're looking at. This is more important than anything being talked about in the news today. The loss of the conscience. I've written a lot on this. It's on the internet. You can find my articles. This is what happened when the order at Yale decided to get their guys, educators, educated in Germany, and many of the, you know, G. Stanley Hall was the first one, and he admits to being half a Marxist himself back in the mid-1800s, mind you. He admitted to that. So he brings it back. It's picked up by Dewey and Thorndike, et cetera, and the method goes into the teachers' colleges, and our teachers are trained to train our students. Train, not educate. Of course, this didn't happen until 1965. Now, the result of this, one could see this morning. I opened up the computer, and I was Fox News, interesting enough, which won't cover my book, of course. But they did cover, like, oh, my goodness me, how can this be possible? This Jack Chambers, an economic professor at a college, I didn't get it all written down, he asked his students what the American dream means to them. This is in college. And he asked specifically, what do you want the government, you know, what do you think the government should do? Well, 10%, good for them, said, leave me alone. 80% said that the government should take care of their vacations, make sure they get a good job, give them health care, give them housing, and that the wealthy should be taxed more. Now, there was one individual who said, can you believe this one? As human beings, we are not responsible for our actions. We need the government to keep us in line, sort of. Now, that's not a direct quote. I just sort of remember that. But first of all, this individual who says we need the government to keep us in line and we're not responsible for our actions, that student evidently was very carefully trained in Darwin, that we're animals. So they made a mistake. They still think they're human beings, but they're not.
Well, you're right.
The people have been conditioned and trained like animals all the way through from the time that G. Stanley Hall went over to Germany for the order and came back, retrained, and now what we're looking at is the computer technology is nothing but Pavlovian.
And that allows total centralization of the message, but expanding on that, and we see a global curriculum being standardized. I've seen the studies that there are now more sociopaths than there used to be, and even more psychopaths, and that the system is creating artificial sociopaths. Normally, their numbers were much lower, but they can also have it where they flip on a switch that makes you a sociopath, but then can flip it back off when they want you to feel. So it's total programming. It's like they're biological androids And it's so scientifically done. How is their plan going along for them from your deep research of this from every angle?
Well, I'm afraid they're highly successful. And the reason for this, Alex, is another thing that has always bewildered us. Why is it that, for instance, when I wrote my book in 1985, the little 39-pager, Back to Basics Reform, that exposed all of this Skinner stuff and said it was for a world government which would arrive, you know, in the 21st century, all of that book was boycotted across the board by the conservative movement. If that book had been listened to in 1985, we might not have this Skinnerian opera conditioning on the computers, et cetera, right now. But they boycott it. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that interesting? The conservatives. This is under Ronald Reagan, okay? And so anyway, that happened. And then I wrote my big book because I figured maybe this will get, well, that was boycotted by them too. They've done nothing to get the big book. They do not want this information. Now, I'm sure the Democrats are involved in it as well, and they've paid for the funding, and they love the Department of Education, blah, blah, blah. But I have to say that the school-to-work agenda, which requires school choice is the most devastatingly bad thing that ever happened to this country, because it's not really school choice whatsoever. It's federally funded charter schools that don't have elected officials running them, because the corporations are going to run those charter schools to train for the workforce with the Skinnerian opera conditioning on the computer. Now, this is the conservatives supporting this, because conservatives are notable for wanting to make money, right? I mean, we know that. It's nothing wrong with making money. But when you decide that you're going to turn your children over to be nothing but slaves in this planned economy, to be moved around the world, and a lot of these quotes are in my book from educators, they're going to be moved around the world wherever they need them, using nothing but computer technology, opera conditioning, et cetera, to train them lifelong, all of this.
Yeah, but Charlotte, there's also all these globalist groups now pushing the solution to the New World Order is mega computers that make all this, the decisions for us. But really, those computers are programmed by the globalists themselves. It's a new form of tyranny.
Yes, it is. And Alex, what we have to understand is that we've lost the, I hate to say this, and maybe it's not completely true, but I believe we have lost the Christian community. Because the Christian community, the evangelicals, we always depended on them to support us in trying to get rid of these bad programs, especially, you know, Skinner and all. I never got any support for them from that community. They even said that some of us were nutty. They said that we didn't know what we were talking about with Skinner. We were wrong about these computerized, individualized education software and all. They went up against us. And I always wonder, what is going on? Well, now we know, because they have been trained by Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker went all over the country.
I'll tell you what, stay there. Let's expose
systems.
Sure, let's expose that and talk about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They now are funding and running a lot of these, quote, charter schools. Part of it, of course, is tax money still. And they're openly teaching eugenics, kill granny for money. I mean, everything.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN radio network.
I fell in.
All right, we're going to have a giant news blitz, I promise, at 40 after when Charlotte Thompson Iserby leaves us. Whistleblower, author, researcher, patriot. And again, she's not against you having school choice, but this is now just the corporations taking over the old local, quote, independent school district system, draining off their funding, putting only in a little bit of their money, and getting control. Now, you were breaking down how you discovered why you were blocked by, quote, conservatives, but then also take the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They are involved at education in every level. They're involved, just like Obama was, breaking up local schools and turning them over to corporations. That's what they're now doing. And I could play clips of Bill Gates up there saying, you don't give grandma health care, we can hire 10 teachers, and the teachers clapping. So they're even selling this idea of cannibalism, that you take something away from somebody, you get their resources. That's not how the world really works. It's a win-win-win, build the pie system is what we want, not a post-industrial shut-it-down system. So it's incredibly dangerous and classically authoritarian. But you notice with the TSA checkpoints and the groping of our families, I mean, they admit the TSA stuff is to break you, is to train you, is to Pavlovianly get you used to them putting their hands on your body. I mean, this is all dog training, as you said.
Well, yes, Alex, and talking about the Gates Foundation, they are, Bill Gates is totally involved in putting us under this international socialist system, or whatever you want to call it, fascist, communist, totalitarian system. He's very involved. I mean, Microsoft has got agreements with communist China and Russia and everywhere, and Gates has signed all sorts of agreements himself, and so really bad. Now, talking about the foundations, let's get there. The taxes and foundations. You can go to my son's website, AmericanDeception.com, and you've got the transcript of the congressional investigation of the tax-exempt foundations there. There was only one copy left in the country 3 years ago because the foundations bought up all the copies. They didn't want the American people to know what had happened in 1953 when all these traitors had to answer questions during the investigation. They bought up all the copies. They got them all out of circulation except this one. The person I bought it from, I understand that he was offered any amount of money for that one copy, and he turned it down. I got the copy. My son put it up on the website. 3,000 pages of documentation. That was the investigation where Norman Dodd of the Reese Committee, went up to New York, and off the record, that's why it's not on the internet, it's not in the transcript, but off the record, the president of the Ford Foundation, Rowan Gaither, said to him, "Mr. Dodd, we get our instructions from the White House how to use our money." Eisenhower at the peak of the Cold War, that was. And the instructions were to change America. The foundation should change America to such an extent it could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Now, look, of course, you say it's dead. No, it's not. Communism, fascism, socialism, internationalism are all exactly what Gaither was talking about.
Exactly. A fool sent me an email saying you're calling it fascist or socialist. They're two different things. No, there's different dressing, little different tweaks, but it's all black uniforms, all government run, all surveillance, all state planned, with the corporations over it. It's all the same thing.
That's exactly what we're looking at. So what Dodd was told is absolutely correct. Gaither told him it would be this merger. And if you go back to Lenin said, look, first of all countries individually become socialist. Then
that's what Carol Quigley wrote. He said there's not a difference between fascism and communism. We work with all of it. We are creating a fusion of it.
But they merge. Once they're socialist, then they merge in regions. So we've got all the regions being set up. Gorbachev called the European Union the new European Soviet. And now the regionalism is communism. And that quote is in my book. Very interesting quote. Look it up. Morris Zeitlin, he's a communist, wrote the Communist Daily World in the 70s. He said the United States has got to go have more regional government because it worked so well in the Soviet Union. It's going in now, folks, all over the place with sustainable development, dropping borders, getting rid of elected officials. Don't forget, charter schools don't have elected officials. So you're paying taxes to run these charter schools, which use a federal test.
And all it really is a globalist school.
Yes. And those schools, 60% of the federal test is attitudinal, how they feel about the environment, what they think about the UN or whatever, do they believe in God? 60% of that test that the charter school students must take, because it's a federally funded entity, is political. Now, remember this.
They remove true education about issues and about ideas and about science. It just all turns into pablum, so the kids are good little robots, and they burn that time up not really teaching them. We'll be right back with solutions. Stay there, Charlotte. Final segment straight ahead with our guest, then News Blitz coming up.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
It's our final segment with Charlotte Iserby. And again, we're selling the book. She has the old big thick version up for free on her website and just didn't want to deal with the hard copy anymore. And people convinced her, hey, this is important to have a hard copy of. They can shut stuff off the web really easy. So she's put out a new updated, abridged, revised, shorter one. It's only 450-something pages long. It's excellent. And every teacher, every educator you know needs a copy of this because then everything will make sense to them. And it has all the documents. I mean, she was the head of policy. That's the number two position at the Department of Education. She's published the documents where they admit they want a global Soviet system run by the mega elite. They want to shut down all their competition. And you notice everything we warn you about keeps happening because we've got all their documents. That's what's so frustrating about this. Charlotte, we're getting into a key point there as we went to break. Please continue.
Well, I don't know where I was on that one, Alex, but all I can say is, because we don't have much time left, I want, first of all, I do, the reason for the book is that I felt it had to be, come out at this time. I think that book is really very, very important. There are many books out there, but this gives you not just education history, but the history of the insiders for the beginning of the last century, or even going back into the 1800s. It's the Federal Reserve. It's everything else, too, that's in there. What happened? Disarmament, blah, 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 go on. Ronald Reagan signing the agreements with the Soviet Union, and the Carnegie Corporation role in agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science. All of these things, and again, I will say the conservatives got to understand this. I hate to say it, but you have not been informed of these things because the conservatives, let's call them neoconservatives, not Goldwater people, they have been infiltrated, the Republican Party badly infiltrated by the left. So you've got both parties are left and are, you can call them either socialist or Marxist or fascist. Doesn't make any difference. Both parties are controlled, and that's why we haven't been able to get this information out. What I want you to do is don't get discouraged. You've got to keep fighting. And the reason I say this is there have been many, many people, and I gave a lot of credit to these people in the beginning of my book. I've known them. Some are dead, et cetera. They, the insiders, expected to bring us down, certainly in the 80s. The 1976, 200th anniversary, we were meant to be basically going down. We didn't. We're still here. If those people had given up, the ones that you and I know and a lot of us oldsters know, they're gone now, magnificent Americans who fought for freedom, for the constitutional, if they had given up, I wouldn't even be on this program today. And Alice wouldn't have a show. So you cannot give up. You have to keep fighting this battle. And the tool to fight it, I think, because, of course, I love my own book, is my little book. And it's smaller. You can't complain anymore about it being, you know, you can't take it on vacation. It weighs too much. Now, the other thing I want to say is there's only one person out there that we can vote for the Republican Party. There's only one person. Absolutely, there's no question about it, and it's Ron Paul. It is ridiculous what's going on now. It's evil what's going on right now. They're doing to him what they did to Goldwater back in the 60s when they had that film of the little girl in the field with the poppies and the bomb going off. They're going to do that to him, too.
Yeah, they're saying we'll get nuked if you elect Ron Paul, same thing LBJ did.
Right. So, look, folks, we've got good stuff out there now. We've got Ron Paul. I'm going to keep fighting. Alex is great. He's going to keep fighting.
Well, Charlotte, as you know, I mean, 20, 30, 40 years ago, almost nobody knew about this stuff because it was so incredible. You mean their tyrants want to slowly take over? Now it's all coming to fruition. Yeah. The crop is coming in. We told folks what those plants were going to grow. Before I was born, you were warning people.
That's right.
And then now we see, this is tyranny they're setting up. I've never seen such an awakening happening. Now, some are awakening. That's happening faster. But others are getting deeper into the trance, and you cannot reach them because they've been so damaged by the brainwashing, by the chemicals. But it's never a majority that turns things around. It's an evil minority or a good minority that are going to decide the destiny of the human species, and our minority is swelling. We are much bigger than the criminals.
The young people are so important. Let me say to you, don't waste time on people my age, really, because they are so pathetic with their golf clubs, their retirement. They are pathetic. I'm sorry to say it. Maybe there are a few out there who aren't, but don't waste your time on them. put your time into the young people getting out of high school and college. Get in there, just like Ron Paul said. There's this huge awakening among young people. And you know what? The schools may have done a good job, like I pointed out earlier, with 80% or whatever of those college students. But I don't believe it's all that bad. I think that the young people really are beginning to understand that they have been had. And so focus.
Well, you know they create a fake consensus with all these fake polls. I mean, they've now, it's even, quote, mainstream news that there was fraud all over Iowa, just as we said 2-3 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that it's so brazen, Charlotte.
Yes, it is. And I think that that's why I think the young people know this. And the other thing is, Ron Paul really is the anti-war candidate. And if he was smart, that's what he would run on, even though he's anti-Federal Reserve and he'd love to get rid of the Department of Education. He's the only one who's really mentioned that, isn't he? His platform is superb. And they say it's kooky. Don't, wait a minute. Look, I always love it when people call me a kook. You know why? And I tell them, thank you. Because the greatest Americans and people in the Soviet Union, et cetera, Solzhenitsyn, all these people who cherished freedom, were called kooks at the time. And so if someone calls you a kook, thank them. And say, you know, you put me in really good company. I'm in with Solzhenitsyn. I'm in with all these great people who fought for freedom.
Well, as you know, Charlotte, a doodle dandy was the biggest insult the British could give each other. And I don't want to tell people what it means, but it's a slang.
Yeah.
But you know what? We said, good, we're going to have a song called Yankee Doodle Dandy.
That's very interesting. Good for you, Alex. I didn't know that. But, you know, the thing is that is Brock Chisholm. That's all those guys, Alger Hiss and all, in 1945 at the UN, who said they're going to use psychiatry, you know, to get rid of our conscience. These are the people who said we're crazy, see? We're crazy because we think. And because we know that war, we know war is wrong, but we know that sometimes you have to take a stand. But they don't want us.
No. They teach us to not be warlike so they can wage war on us. They say, truce.
That's exactly what we are. Our military is nothing but the United Nations military arm. To patrol parole the whole world has nothing to do with protecting the United States.
And the good part for the globalist is, when they do all this imperial evil and the massacres, their own globalist media tells the world about it and then blames America.
Yep.
And then we're domestically told it's great and everybody loves us for the future destruction of this country politically.
Absolutely.
I mean, the globalists are such masters that they have America doing all their dirty work.
Yep.
I mean, Rupert Murdoch's publications will badmouth the war and stuff overseas.
Right.
But then domestically, he's all for it.
Yep.
And again, they know exactly what they're doing. They don't play by any rules. The book is available at Infowars.com. With Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, a new edition, a smaller edition. It's been out of print for a year, available at Infowars.com. And Charlotte, thank you for putting the book back out. I know the big, thick one is free on your website. And give folks that address as well for people that can't afford the soft cover.
Okay, it's DeliberateDumbingDown.com. And you can just go there and you can read it on the internet. It's a big book to read on the internet, but please, that's why it's there. And AmericanDeception.com is also a free website for all the documents to back up.
And let's be clear, when you send a friend or family or teacher the email with the link, people don't tend to appreciate something that's free. It's like, here's all this work, it's free, please warn people, here's the total blueprint of the enemy operation in education. This is what, yeah, you say the schools, you know, George Carlin said they want you dumb. Well, here's the proof. Yeah, George Carlin's right. Here's their own criminal blueprint all put together for you, all sourced, and tell people you better look at this. But most people will still appreciate a book. So if you do buy the book, it's like, here, I read it. Here it is, school teacher. I've got the, you know, most important parts highlighted, or to your school board or whatever, because most of these people are not evil operatives. They have grown up multi-generationally in this.
Yeah.
And now it's getting so deep. Charlotte, look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Well, thanks a lot, Alex, and keep up your good work, and happy New Year to all your listeners.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Charlotte Thompson Iserby, the book Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, available at Infowars.com or by calling 888-253-3139 here at our office. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. We also have the Everything Special. We're calling it the New Year Special. I've never had a deal this good. But we're going to keep it running for the rest of the month because it's getting the word out. All 18 of my films on DVD for $99.95. All of them. Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame, Terror Storm. $99.95 right now. Normally 360 smackers. And your funding of this operation allows us to continue and hopefully expand. And we're really working hard here, as you know, because we understand this information is too important. I mean, you know, I separated some ribs, cracked some stuff, dropping a big weight on myself last weekend. I'm like an idiot doing incline weight. Just slipped out of my hands. I was going too fast and came out. And most people would be in bed right now. And I'm not whining about it. I'm not doing some great service being here. Wild horses cannot drag me away. I mean, I want to do productions. I want to make films. I want to get the word out. I want to warn people. I want to stop these people. Because it's so frustrating to know these are wanton, evil criminals that use psychological warfare and false reality systems that they've taught people to get a lot of good men and women out there to not even ever become conscious human beings and to be mind slaves to these globalists and carry out all this evil. I don't even hate their minions anymore. I used to really get mad at minions of the system, and now I'm just like, man, it's frustrating. Like, I know what I'm talking about. I live this stuff. I read documents till I'm blue in the face. I understand how the system works. I understand it. Most people are not bad. And I understand this a lot more than even some of their high-level people because they're all compartmentalizers doing their sector. They're trained to do it. They do it. And I've gotten the level of a master architect understanding of the overall integrated systems of how they run this thing. And let me tell you, it doesn't look like it's human built. I'm not into space aliens, reptoids, any of that. I'm just saying it's hard to believe that humans would actually consciously be trying to set this up because they're trying to screw up the planet. They're trying to splice every animal and every plant and creating abominations that are already causing irrevocable problems. They've already got a lot of the key species dying out, honeybees and things like that. It's other top scientists I've had on. It's like they say it's like it's space aliens that want to destroy the Earth or something. And then they know that we're concerned about this, so they take over the environmental movement and make it an anti-human, anti-carbon dioxide movement. They are such masters at knowing how you're going to think and what you're going to do and creating false systems to capture your energy, to capture your resistance. It's just unbelievable. And they love hurting good things. They love defacing good things. They love screwing things up. All right, I'm going to start preaching here. It's the devil, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how else to explain it to you, but when you get right down to hardcore 18-hour-a-day research, you run smack dab up against it. The leadership are devil worshipers, Lucifer worshipers. They think Lucifer's God, and they're just sick freaks. They are super smart, sick freaks, and it's skull and bones. They think they're guided by the devil, and they worship the devil, and ABC News captured it on tape. I mean, it's like, what in the world are we facing here? And they've got all these well-meaning people that will go and shoot Iraqi women for almost no reason and call them subhuman and think they're good guys. That is mind control. And it's all Skinner. It's all Edward Bernays. Oh, if you just read propaganda by Bernays. If you just know what I know, if you just read the Public Club of Rome documents, if you just read the Rockefeller Foundation documents we link to, where they put stuff in the vaccines and the food and the water to give us cancer, I mean, it's really uncool. You know, this is not about entertainment. It's not about a joke, people. It's not about, ooh, I'm a radio host and I'm up here talking to you about this stuff. This is life and death. And it starts with all of us, though. Evil couldn't have gotten away with this if people by increment didn't give in to evil and corruption. I said I'd get through a bunch of news, and look at this financial news. Doctors going broke under Obamacare, but don't worry. They just now want to fully nationalize health care and take it over. That was always the plan. CNN. Top 1% of mobile users consume half of world's bandwidth, and the gap is growing. So they're saying to people, well, let us put a charge, more charges on you, since other people are using too much. And that's just a way to charge everybody more. There's articles out about how they're lying about how many jobs have really been created. We've got a big stack of news on that front. I already mentioned this, but it's big. DHS officers armed with semi-automatics set up unannounced ID checkpoints with submachine guns in Florida. I mean, you just can't make that up. Speaking of genetic engineering, I had a big stack of news on that, but let me get to that in a minute when I find it. Proposed DNA bank could ensnare New York graffiti artist, and it just goes through. England already does this in many cities. You get pulled over for speed, and they take your DNA out of the cheek. They can just swab it, and they put it in the database, of course, to frame you. It's not the cop doing it doesn't know that, but it's mainly to frame you and get your. I mean, they take your blood at birth for 40 years worldwide. Everywhere it's under the global system. There's a few countries they're mopping up and. Don't worry, they fly over there and spray stuff on them. They're not getting away with anything. They're going to be mutated, murdered by these criminals, just devil ghouls we're dealing with. There's that report out of Reuters. We've got, I'm digging up my reporter. The problem is I've got too much news. This is just totally insane. I got a whole stack of news here about genetic engineering and stuff. Here it is. Welcome to a brave new world. Genetic scientists create freakish man-made monster ants with huge heads and jaws. I'm going to cover this on the nightly news tonight. Here's another one. Meet the chimera monkey. This is Daily Mail. Made from the cells of six different animals. You know what that does zoologically, the viral mutations that creates? I mean, folks, it's going to start now not being cancer at 2,000% or 3,000%. What it was 50 years ago. It's going to start being just everybody dying around you or being cut up and sliced up as the whole financial system goes bankrupt by design and the medical system goes bankrupt, which is designed to do. They create the medical crisis, soft killing everybody. Then it collapses. Then you got government-run healthcare, which will deliver the murdering system that much more deadly. I mean, it's just pure evil. Folks, this is a scientific dictatorship. They look at you in their little lab coats like an animal. They've set up a whole system to control and manipulate you. The schools across the country are admittedly watching kids at home on their laptops. I mentioned this earlier. Big Brother in St. Louis, schools plan to monitor students' activity at home with these medical wristbands, all the students tracking their heart rates, everything, just training you that you're a prisoner. And to see if the parents will go along with it. And now California is inoculating school students without parental consent. And we've caught schools before doing it and claiming it's an accident. They take your blood at birth and tell you it's for a blood test. And they're liars and they're caught lying. And they were just saying, Alex, you haven't mentioned the article about how the new Windows coming out won't have a mouse. It'll be eye-tracked. Well, absolutely. What do you think the Kinect put out by Microsoft does? It's a face scan. See, the technology all is, it's not even a Trojan horse. The reason you think you have a computer, the reason you think you go on Google is the side vestigial reason. It's all designed to track and control you. Microsoft said a decade ago that they're going to have internet ID by law, but before that, it won't matter because you're going to thumbprint and face scan to activate your computer. It will not turn on. Now, even local banks are trying to pressure us when we get wires in from advertisers or we're going to wire money or something to do a voice print deal, not even a code or not even a... I mean, it's just... and then again, they can tax and trace and shut you down. They can put any fees they want on you. It's a system where you're like a rat in a big computerized maze. And then now I see all the big Republican talk show hosts freaking out over Obama saying, I'll just appoint judges now in America. And they're saying, but this has never been done before. These aren't recess appointments. We're not in recess. These are permanent appointments. Remember the quote? Believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting. Remember Bush? Things would be a heck of a lot easier if this was a dictatorship, just so long as I'm the dictator. Remember that? You can pull that up. I mean, it's open creepiness in your face beyond what you could even imagine. And it's just going to get more insane from here on out. And you're like, well, at least we're on the air talking about it. Yeah, now they're talking about shutting people down. I mean, it's everyone going along with this. We're destroying ourselves. That's what's so frustrating. 99% of people are compartmentalized. They may even hate the New World Order, but you still go along with it because it's all around you. We've got to start really realizing this is the big issue. This is everything. All the other stuff, the football, the dramas, it's all drama. We're under attack. Let's get conscious to it. The globalists know that if it's incremental, do you think a deer, here's an analogy, would walk out into a beautiful green field if it knew that the whole field was a giant bear trap? I just thought of a graphic of that. It's the same thing of like a pond being poisoned where deer come to drink. If they don't taste the poison, they're going to drink it and all die. It's because it's not in your face, but now it is in your face, because it grew slowly like the frog in the pot. People are almost totally wide open to it. And it's almost like a deer, you know, the public's a deer walking out into a field and you see the whole field slam shut. And it's a giant Venus flytrap, you know, and the trees and stuff are just its teeth. And like, there's the meadow and the deer walks out, it's slammed shut on it. And then it's a whole other vista you're looking at. I mean, it's like that. It's like people just see this as real, the system and lies stacked on lies. And it's all a giant illusion. I got to do 5 minutes of overdrive because I said I'd get to this. Most stations won't carry this, but it'll be on Infowars.com audio streams and the video streams we have up there now. And I'll be on tonight, nightly news. We've got a 15-day free trial running right now if you want to support us and also see the news. And then you can download it and give it to your friends. I'm going to come back and get into Obama and saying he basically wants to be our supreme ruler. So the system tells us we can secretly arrest you. We can torture whoever we want. We can launch wars and we'll just say they aren't wars. Welcome to where time stands still. No one leaves and no one will. It is the inmates running the asylum. And look at these headlines at Infowars.com. The dictator wants to bypass Congress. The people cheer. And we've got a little clip of Glenn Beck, who's been halfway endorsing Ron Paul lately because he knows where his bread is buttered, has assembled a video montage that includes President Obama making references on numerous occasions to bypassing Congress in order to push forward his agenda. And we've done videos like that as well. Rather than outrage over President's desire to ignore his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, the masses cheer. Yeah, he's been beta testing the last few years where he said, you know, Congress is in my way. I wish I didn't have them there. And they're like, yay, ignore them. Be our dictator. Give us Barabbas. Give us evil. We've got a clip of Obama from Real Clear Politics, one of these clips. I have an obligation as president to do what I can do without Congress. And boy, you're doing it. Let's go ahead and play it.
These are ideas that have support from Democrats. They have support from Republicans around the country, independents around the country. I want to work with Congress to get them done. But when Congress refuses to act, and as a result hurts our economy and puts our people at risk, then I have an obligation as president to do what I can without them.
Oh. I mean, I should have led the show with that today. I mean, that is such a big deal. In fact, Jaron, remind me, on Sunday, I'll be live this Sunday, 4 to 6, will you please assemble all those clips we can. The one Becky Poo has, but just find the originals. I know Dude's got a bunch. We played them a few weeks ago. I mean, we need to talk about this. I mean, this is getting creepier and creepier. If they don't act, it's this idea of Congress needs to get more done. No, the founders said separation of powers. You want gridlock. You don't want government that just can do whatever it wants. So the idea is if they fail to act, I'll do whatever I want. You're the executive that's given the laws to execute them. You're like an executive at a company with the shareholders, and the shareholders represent the population. and the Congress is the representative of the shareholders. The Congress makes law, and Congress is pretty much bought and paid for. I mean, they just gave the president the power to secretly arrest, torture, attack any country he wants. You know, the biggest part of NDAA isn't just the bestiality weirdness and the rest of it. And if you just tuned in, yeah, it legalizes that too on the military basis. Look, I didn't believe it either when I heard it. Go look it up. I'm not joking. Believe me, it's we're living in Twilight Zone here. I mean, even if they're into that in the government, why put it in the law? I mean, it's just, they're crazy. They're crazy. These are crazy people. It's, you know, because they do what they do, but that's not the issue. The issue is that worldwide battlefield statement. And now they've got all these civilians dropping drone bombs, killing people, and now they say they're going to have the drones operating on their own. No human killing people. That's already happening. And they give the drone operators medals and stuff. It's just beyond sickening. And all of this distance killing, all of this end of the conscience, end of critical thinking. We're going to enter a new dark age of humankind that is going to make anything we've seen look tame. We're living in a science fiction land. And it is all going to accelerate right now. And soon we won't even be able to use computers in here. I won't be able to have a mouse. It's going to have to face scan me and watch my eyes. And they've had that for decades. I remember when I was led into the University of Texas psychology department, all DARPA funded, like 90% of it. And it was just all for control, just everything. They're studying every tiny minutia, integrating it with supercomputers, how to manipulate you, monkeys with wires in their brains, testing the perfect flicker rate to mesmerize you when you watch the blue mist in the background on Fox News. I mean, it's just total hell released by elitists who are willing to do anything to get life extension technologies and kill us. See you back tonight, 7 o'clock, back Sunday.